The following is a presentation of Team Glory Sports.
It's been a great season for the Cherokee Bluff football team as Tommy Jones Bears start out the season non-region play 4-1, led by their quarterback, Cooper Dean.
A slot, one running back. Dean back there, hands it off, pitches it back to Dean. Dean, the flea flicker, throws it long, got a man, caught it, Malcolm Millsap, through a 50-yard bomb, the flea flicker worked.
And tonight, the Bears kick off the Region 8 AAA schedule with a matchup against the Oconee County Warriors, coached by former Flyer branch coach Ben Hall, as his Warriors come to town to take on the Bears, coming up this evening here on 97.5 Glory FM. And the kickoff of tonight's game starts with the Long Street Cafe pregame show, and it all begins now.
97.5 Glory FM, WGTJ Radio presents Friday Night Football in North Georgia. Welcome to the countdown to kickoff of tonight's game with the Long Street Cafe pregame show. Let's go to the field for tonight's game on 97.5 Glory FM.
Well, it's time for the second season of high school football. Halfway through the year, the Cherokee Bluff Bears open up Region 8 AAA play tonight against the Oconee County Warriors out of Watkinsville in this big matchup to start things off. Along with Joe Gailey, Gary Glenn, Harper LaBelle, Mike Warford with you here from the home of the Bears. And currently we are in a lightning delay. Hopefully we'll start too late this evening, so the clock is ticking, and then the players will get back out on the field. The stadium has been evacuated here at Yonah Field, and then we get everybody back into their seats to get the players out on the field. Shouldn't be, hopefully, too late of a start, but Harper LaBelle's back with us this week after missing last week in his trip to Nashville. You saw the same thing happen last week, Harper.
I've seen a few of them, and especially at this stadium, Mike. If you remember the season opener
last year, we were here
till about well after midnight. They decided to keep playing. Thank goodness they did and didn't have to reschedule it. But there's been a few of these lightning games. I'm getting a little tired of it, Mike. Can we talk to the big weathermaker upstairs and try to reschedule them for some other – let's reschedule it for basketball.
I'll see what I can do about that from that standpoint.
It'd be snow by then, and then we'd be able to do basketball.
And, Joe, you know how – we're going to look at it too, Joe. You think about our old friend Ben Hall here at Oconee County, formerly at Jefferson and Flyer Branch, and we saw him in the state playoffs a couple years ago at Lumpkin County. No kind of football team he's bringing in tonight.
Well, they're going to be defensive strong. We know that for sure. Of course, now they got beat by North Oconee early in the year, but everybody's getting beat handily by North Oconee. But that beside the point, they're playing really good defense. They're going to run the football. They're known for that, and they'll mix in a pass here and there. The two guys that have passed the most for them this year, Fountain and Hannah, have only attempted about 70 passes between the two of them. And, so it'd be interesting to see how much they do throw the ball. If it's a wet track, I expect both teams to run. I do think that Cherokee Bluff holds a little bit of an edge in that, Mike, because they do have a quarterback that can throw the ball. We saw with Cooper earlier in the season. Plus, I think Jackson Perkle running the ball is a little bit of an advantage for him. Jackson, we've seen him now for a couple of years, and he runs the ball hard every time he's out there.
One thing we have seen so far this season, guys, is that Bluff can really score a lot of points than what their defense could do.
Yeah, exactly. And that'll be interesting to see how they can do. If they can hold them down tonight, I think it bodes well for Cherokee Bluff. The Cherokee Bluff is missing some playmakers from last year's team with KT and Landon Kemp, a couple other guys. But I do think that they've got the weapons that they need to go out there and play a really good ball game tonight.
Is it fair to say they're a little imbalanced in that they've got 13 touchdowns through the air and only 8? I'm sorry, I got it backwards. There's 13 on the ground and 8 in the air. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a high school recipe for really good. It's not perfect balance,
right,
but you can do both. If you ever get behind, you can score. We know we can because they've got 8 mm-hmm. touchdowns mm-hmm. now in their first 5 games, but really they like to run it. They like to pound it down in between the tackles, and they're very good at that. What do they have? 961 yards mm-hmm. in their first 5 ball games. So they're averaging right about 200 yards a game.
Right.
Well, as I mentioned in our pregame show and game plan, this is old-fashioned football this evening. You're going to see a lot of running, I think, in a nice ball game and a lot of defense.
Well, I agree with you, Mike. I think we'll see a lot of running, a lot of defense, a lot of hard hits. It's probably going to be up on the line of scrimmage. We always talk about that, Harper, about the line of scrimmage winning games, and I think tonight is going to be that exact recipe.
I also think, and I'm not real smart, but if it is going to be a lot of running, this could be a quick game
Exactly.
And Mike might be able to get an hour of sleep.
Well, more important, I'd like to get back to station by the time to do the final score at 11 o'clock to see if that's the big thing there.
We've had some situations in our recent past that have not allowed for that to happen, Mike. So hopefully tonight, if it is a run game. And, you know, in high school, my offensive coordination was run, punt. I know I've told you that before, but for our listeners that didn't know that, we were really good at that. We would run three times right up the middle, and then we would punt. So that's probably not what they're going to plan on doing here today.
That sounds like North Hall days back when Mike
was playing. Absolutely, yes.
When Mike was playing, it was punt.
I feel your pain. There's no doubt about that. Well, here at Cherokee Bluff at Yonah Field, it's Cherokee Bluff against Oconee. They may have an extended pregame show just for a little bit as we get ready for the kickoff of tonight's ball game. We're back after this 2-minute timeout here on the Long Street Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
Hi, Hope Bunch, the voice of Long Street Cafe.
Mary, did you know Long Street Cafe supports great programs like FCA? Northeast Georgia FCA is working to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes.
And they do a great job of making their mission work through the E3 strategy of making disciples who make disciples. I remember that from my days in school.
Yeah, FCA has been around a while.
Hey now, find out more at ghcfca.org.
Summer heat is here in North Georgia, and Conditioned Air Systems is here for you. With 24/7 service for your air conditioning and plumbing repair needs, we will keep you cool, comfortable, and dry all summer long. Our family and team have been delivering reliable, quality service for HVAC and plumbing when you need it for over 45 years. Give Conditioned Air Systems a call at 1-800-AC-REPAIR.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Innovation at Jackson EMC.
To me, innovation is taking technology and doing something new with it.
I'm working with a global company. We're helping them be able to reduce their carbon footprint through some of our programs.
Here at Jackson EMC, we embrace innovation, such as solar power, electric vehicle programs, energy-efficient Right Choice homes. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Long Street Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
And back here in Flyer Branch at Cherokee Bluff, Joe, Gary, Harper, Mike with you here on 97.5 Glory FM online at WGTJRadio.com. We just got the word. Kickoff will be at 8 p.m. this evening, so it will be a 30-minute delay this evening officially. So we'll have an extended time here to talk with you about high school football this evening. In this region, guys, this is a really tough region in 8AAA. When you have the teams playing tonight, you have Monroe Area playing at East Hall. Also, you have Jefferson playing at West Hall this evening. Those are the six teams in this region. There's six teams in Region 8. As Joe and I were talking about, there's eight teams in Region 6, and that's the unbalance from that standpoint. They split, they being the Georgia High School Association, split Hall County into two regions in their last reclassification. So we get a chance to have, you know, more teams in our local area in the state playoffs like it was last season. For the Bears, you're expecting to get back to the playoffs. In this first half of the season, they have played extremely well going 4-1.
They have, Mike. They beat some teams that and looked really good doing it. I'm pulling up their schedule now. And
Game of the season, they beat Lumpkin County on the road in Galanica.
Appalachia beat them pretty good. Had a shootout with North Hall up at the Brickyard, 43-31. Beat Habersham Central by three touchdowns. And then beat Banks in a really close game that I don't think either one of them is a three-point game over there. So they're 4-1. They lost to North Hall, but they won the other four. And, you know, the Oconee County tonight, to begin to enter the meat of their schedule tonight with the region, Oconee, then West Hall, Monroe, Jefferson, and East Hall. And they get to host Jefferson and West Hall and Oconee County here. So that might be a little bit of advantage of getting to host those games here.
You know, Joe, and even in that game they lost to North Hall, they still scored 31 points.
Exactly.
So they score a lot of points. And last year was a 17-10 game in Watkinsville that the Bluff won. I think it might be a few more points scored tonight.
Yeah, it very well could be. As Harper and Ryan were talking about a little ago, I think it's going to be one, as we say a lot of times, on the line of scrimmage. And I think that might be from the defensive standpoint as far as who plays the best defense tonight.
Well, Oconee County lost to North Oconee. Of course, a lot of people lost to North Oconee. That was a 41-0 in there. The North Oconee Titans are favored to repeat as state champs. Morgan County was a 35-14 game. Then they beat Clark Central 14-0. Beat Loganville 28-6. They beat Stevens County, which is probably their best win of the season so far, 28-24.
Well, they were behind in that one for a lot of that game and had to come back and win it.
And both teams were off last Friday, so they had a chance to heal up. So we got a... Yeah, we got rain falling
now. Glad Erie stayed in here with us because now it's coming down pretty good.
Yeah,
raining
hard.
Well, it reminds me, as I was telling Joe Gary, our first game ever played here at Cherokee Bluff back 8 seasons ago, we played on a Saturday night, and it was a torrential rain the entire ball game in their first game they ever played here. And they say that's why they call purple rain falling here at Cherokee Bluff. That's what's happening right now.
Well, coming over here, I ran into a rainstorm like this, but it only lasted for about 2 minutes. And then maybe that's going to be the case with this one. I hope so. We saw a little bit of a rainbow here for a few minutes ago. But
well,
now
you got blue sky back in there to our west. Hopefully it'll rain through here pretty quick.
The rain is obscuring all of that. Both these teams have got some talent. And as you already said, 4-1 for the Bluff, 3-2 for the Warriors out of Watkinsville. You know, Oconee County has got a pretty long football tradition now, guys. They've established that. And they got a pipeline to LSU. I think they have 6 kids that have played, including – this year, the 3 Weeks brothers.
Okay.
They're all playing linebacker for LSU, and they've all had substantial playing time. So we know that this is a sound program. They're well coached. They've got some athletes. So that's why you tee it up on a Friday night. See who's going to come out on top.
One of the Weeks boys might wind up getting in the portal and going to Ole Miss because Lane Kiffin's daughter's at Ole Miss, and so he might wind up going out there.
Well, their boyfriend and girlfriend now, too. Yeah.
Exactly.
I think they had the Johnson brothers that were at LSU a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a pipeline down there to the Bengals from the
But those are the pipeline in Oconee County is going to the north side toward Bogart, too. And that's what's happening there a lot of times, too, in Oconee County.
Yeah, you got a lot of people that are getting out of Athens, and they're not going to the private schools. They're getting over in Oconee County and going to the public school over there. Of course, you got a lot of pretty high-class football over there. Don't forget that just up the road there, you've got Prince Avenue Christian.
Mm-hmm.
One of the better teams in the state of Georgia, regardless of classification.
Yep.
But I was even told one of the top players in the state was playing at Athens Christian last year, and of course now decided to go over and play for North Oconee. So that happens mm-hmm. there because he may go to Georgia, and of course Georgia has a pipeline there with North Oconee with David Pollock, and that's what's happening.
Yeah, the guy you and I saw there in basketball, Kamari, that played them. Is already committed to Georgia verbally, and he's a defensive end.
But, Joe, you saw it, even a couple of years ago when we had a player move into Buford who was supposed to go to Georgia, and things didn't work out that way.
Yep.
But it's like, it's sort of an idea, okay, you're going to go to high school here, then you'll go ahead and get your scholarship, play for Georgia, then you go from there.
Well, I was talking to Cooper Glover's dad, Tim, down there a few minutes ago as I walked out. And then before I came back in, and he's already got a couple offers locally, and one of them being North Georgia, which I said, well, that's great. He's got a local one from North Georgia. But anyway, Barry's on him pretty heavy. The way the NIL and the transfer portal, Harper, has opened it up, I mean, and yes, you play college football, but it's so much different now because once you committed to a school and went there your freshman year, you were there, period, or you quit playing. And nowadays – You see guys, what the guy from
one and done every year.
Yeah, the Vandy guy, it was on year 7, 6 or 7 up at Vandy this year, the quarterback.
Yeah, he had Diego Pavia fought against the decision that junior college would count against his eligibility. So he tested the waters and attempted to sue the NCAA. He won his injunction, so he's getting to play. It's not a permanent rule now, but now what I'm believing for it to take happen. And thanks a lot for opening up this can of worms. I guess because we have another few minutes, we can talk about this. But I wish we could put the genie back in the bottle. It's already out, and you can't put it back. But very quickly, Diego Pavia won his ability to say, junior college does not count against my regular NCAA. It's a different level,
yep.
and it shouldn't count. And some court agreed with him, which I think it should, and I'm okay with that. So he had five full years. He had only taken four, a couple at New Mexico State, and then he went to Vanderbilt. He had one more year that he wanted to earn and get and keep. He got it, and he's taking advantage of that. Whether he goes into the NFL or not, there's some money coming to him some way, shape, or form at Vanderbilt, and yep. he's made a contractual agreement, and that's what your friends and everybody else, that's the part you almost need an agent now in order to negotiate the price that you will earn when you leave high school and go attempt to play at whatever college you want to go at the next level.
And so is that legal now, having an agent in
it
college?
It has to be, Mike. You have to have somebody represent you because there's a financial transaction taking place.
That's what I'm wondering.
And
now, yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why they gave Reggie Bush his Heisman Trophy back, and I don't believe they're going to take the forfeits away, but
wow.
The NCAA realized that, well, in today's day, you wouldn't be fined for that because you need to have some sort of representation in order to be able to make the contractual obligation.
Yeah, that'd be case. Say I'm sorry to SMU then, you know?
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Eric Dickerson, back in the day when he got the
death penalty at LSU. We've come a long way from when in the old days the NFL guys in the off season used to have to take another job.
Absolutely.
You know, Munson would tell me about the NFL guys that were out in the pro wrestling circuit.
Oh yeah.
In the off season, Bronco Nagurski had no neck.
How about Wahoo McDaniels?
Well, yeah.
Same thing.
Well, it's
Ernie Ladd.
And now you got
thing.
College kids that are making more money than they ever made.
Well, it's funny. I was going to say that. I saw a panel discussion. There's Mark Rick, Carson Beck, and a couple other guys. And the best moment of the whole news conference was this. He said, Coach Rick said to Carson, he said, Carson, you and I got something in common, buddy. Carson said, what's that, Coach? And he said, I coached at Miami, and you played at Miami. The difference is this. He said, what's that, Coach? He said, you're making a whole lot of money than I did.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, he
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
I didn't see Mark Rick driving around a Lamborghini.
Exactly. He had his Ford F-150 furnished. That was about it. Yeah.
I don't know what he paid for that, but I do know he did have a truck like that. And that's one of the things, Gary, some of these guys, what's their motivation going to be when you realize that if they're not a first or second rounder, that they will have made more money in college than they would in the pros. And in order for them to keep that at the pace that they will, they're going to have to take less in order to be able to play. And, you know, some guys go, that's it, I'm done. I don't want to do it anyways.
Well, I'm thinking that played a lot into what Carson Beck did.
I think
he didn't really have that. He didn't have a horrible season at Georgia, but he didn't have that great a season.
Well, he got hurt, and he wanted to come back to a place where they wanted him, and it seemed like Georgia had already moved him out of the number one spot. And Miami may have said something like, hey, come down here, my friend. We'll
more
pay
money.
You. Not just the money, but the better opportunity.
Well,
and
plus, the fact that he might increase his stock if he decides or could play at the next level.
Because he's going to be on the field, and he already is, right? He's proven that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, say what you will about, you know, the logistics behind it, but he, in my opinion, had a very interesting decision of it. Do I stay with a top five program or do I go to another top five program? It's a matter of who wants me more, and maybe the Miami coaches schmoozed him just enough to go, come on, man, we would love to have you down here, and we'll let you know how much we want to have you down here once you get down and sign.
Sunshine, fast cars, and women will do that every time, Coach. I'm sorry.
Well, so we want you to be here at Yonah Field. Just a little bit. Kickoff will be at 8 p.m. Cherokee Bluff in Oconee County. Here on 97.5 Glory FM. We got much more for you after this 2-minute timeout here on the Long Street Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
Give me an L, give me an O, give me an N.
Hope Bunch, the voice of Longstreet Cafe, what you doing?
I'm putting our cheer together for our tailgate season. Whether you're taking our home-cooked favorites to the game or eating with us afterwards, we've got something for everyone.
So what can I do to help?
Glad you asked, Mary. I need you to take care of our mascots.
No, wait.
Thanks, Mary, and they'll need to stay at Cheer House, too.
She did it to me again.
Longstreet Cafe with two Gainesville locations.
This is Matt Nix, president of Duplicating Products. Our local business has served Northeast Georgia with trusted office equipment and local service support for over 50 years. We're proud to support high school football and proud to help businesses stay up and running with fast personal service. As the region's largest independent Canon, Ricoh, and HP dealer, we offer the industry's best equipment backed by real local people. When your copier or printer goes down, we're there fast. Visit DuplicatingProducts.com. We're local and ready to serve you.
It's kickoff time, Gainesville, and Hardy Chevrolet has the winning lineup you've been waiting for. From rugged Silverados to family-ready SUVs, our inventory is stacked for every game. And customer service? It's always first string. Visit Hardy Chevrolet at 2115 Brownsbridge Road, Gainesville, Georgia. Hardy Chevrolet, where you're always part of the hometown team. Together, let's drive.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Now, back to the Longstreet Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
And we're back here at Cherokee Bluff, the team of Joe Gailey, Gary Glenn, Harper LaBelle, Mike Warford with you here. And one thing about it, guys, you know, the weather can be fine here, but the way I understand it, Gary, you correct me if I'm wrong, it's like an 8-mile radius of where you're located. So we almost go back to downtown Gainesville and going north from us and south into Gwinnett County, so it could be anywhere. We might see a lightning strike and delay this thing a little more.
That's true. And these pop-up showers are just frustrating. Like I said, coming over, it rained on me for about 2 minutes, and then I ran out of it, and it looked like it hadn't rained at all. So you're having that kind of thing that you have to.
If we'd played 4 o'clock this afternoon, we'd have been no problem at all, because it didn't do anything until
no.
I got here.
You know, when it started getting a little cooler and the sun started going down a little bit.
Speaking of cooler, it's supposed to be a whole lot cooler next week, fellas. It's supposed to be down, I think, in the high of 70, 71, down about to 57, 55, 57 at night. I might actually have to wear long pants next week for the first time.
I'm sorry, say again, Joe.
Mike questioned me on that because I don't wear long pants very much unless I just have to. Usually
it has to be super cold.
Deep basketball
super
and the first
cold.
Part of baseball season.
You and Ron Poole.
Yeah. Yeah, Ron,
you know, polar bears and penguins refuse to ride with y'all because you are so hot-natured.
Exactly.
I cannot stand to be with you.
Former exactly. Falcon Michael Haynes, I say, Mike, every time I see him now, how many years has it been? He'll say 4, 5. He does not wear pants. He will always wear shorts, and he has for 4 straight years. There's no reason for me to put pants, long pants on. I don't want our listeners to get the wrong impression. He does put knickers on. Or something, he does not wear.
I can't tell him here and now. All games of Hall County are being delayed right now.
Okay. I figure they probably were. I think I heard one of our compatriots down there say that the one up at East Hall has been pushed back to 9 o'clock.
And so. Joe's AccuWeather phone is showing this gigantic red cell that is just basically hovering right over the middle of the county, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right up between Oakwood and Flowery Branch. It's above
it can't
us,
get so. Any redder than that until it turns, like, black. That just means more rain than you can. But we need it.
Need the rain.
We need the water. I drove by Lake Lanier today. It's about 2 feet short.
I noticed that.
And that's okay. Get a little water in the lake.
Yep.
Heard it was raining hard in Gainesville, at the city park.
But again, rain's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Just no
not
minding.
At game time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that too. That too.
They, going back to talk about football again. Coach Lenny's up here. What you got? I'm sorry. 8:20 kickoff. Oh, great. 8:20 kickoff. Here's from the AD right there. 8:20 kickoff.
Ralph Neely joining us.
Yep. That was Coach Neely, the new. First year,
I
AD
noticed,
here.
Joe, you didn't offer him your headset, so you would, you know, allow him to come on and
he's going to talk to Mike at halftime.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yes.
I figured I wouldn't embarrass him too far now. So, but get back to
you're
the
gonna
game.
Wait till later to embarrass him. Is what you're
going to do? Well, let me tell you about Coach Neely real quick before I let Joe talk more. Is that, you know, he was the athletic director at Appalachian High School last year when the shooting took place, and one of his coaches was shot and killed in that incident. And I can only imagine how it affected his life and when the change took place here during the baseball season. But when Joe, as our longtime friend, the original athletic director here, retired, and then they got Coach Neely to come over from Appalachian Bethlehem over here, and he's been here ever since.
It seems like he's enjoying it. We chatted there for a few minutes when we came in, got us situated, and seemed like he's enjoying it, and it's probably about the same distance for him to drive as far as coming back and forth to school from home, so it wasn't that big of a difference for him.
So, Joe, what you're saying is he'd like it a lot better if he didn't have to deal with you every time you're here on a Friday night?
Maybe it'd make it a little easier
for me and Mike?
One of these other guys, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, he had a good relationship. He met us and really go ahead and enjoy working with him.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. But, I think that these guys tonight, you know, you got Fountain, who's going to start a quarterback for Oconee County. He's only thrown 20 passes this year. Now, he's 11 out of 20, 171 yards in the TD. So you can tell right there they run it a lot. You got Wolfle, who's carried it 55 times for 366 yards, and Wood, 39 for 270. But combined, they have seven TDs. So it's going to be interesting to see how much they carry it, and if this turf, now that it's a little bit damp, if it's going to play a role tonight, Mike, if it's going to be any issue. I think it's going to be if the linemen can get their feet under them and get off the ball good and quick, I think it might open up some holes for these running backs tonight.
Well, and you got Jackson Perkle on the other side, who's got 544 yards already and five touchdowns.
And he's got a TD on five receptions also, Gary. So, you know, he's doing pretty good. And Malcolm Millsap receiving 17 catches, 304 yards, and 10 rushes for 108 yards. So he's averaging 10 yards a carry. Malcolm's quick. We saw him a little bit last year. Saw him during basketball. And if he gets out in the open field, he can fly.
And you got Cooper Dean, who's got almost 800 yards passing already. So
well, and Cooper, you remember, I thought one of the highlights Mike did right there at the opening, and Nathan played for us, was one of those flea flickers that they handed off to Jackson. He tossed it back, and Cooper went long with it and threw a long pass to Millsap for a TD.
And think about it too, Joe, you know Cooper, is that he has grown up as a Bear.
Yes.
And this is his opportunity as a senior because he was under two different quarterbacks
waiting his turn. He's come in there. Coach Jones has groomed him for now in this position, and he's doing a fine job so far this season at 4-1.
You know, my analysis, and it doesn't count, I'm just thinking out loud. If Oconee County has a certain set amount of plays from a certain set that they have, a wing, let's say, for example, or you got an offset running back, if I'm Cherokee Bluff, I'm watching for that and making sure if they do that today and run the same play, then I am going to blitz like crazy, and I'm going to try to read before it happens and get an extra guy in the box so that I can force them, knowing full well that they haven't shown any play action, they don't throw the ball very much, but I am going to figure out from their formation where they like to go and who. Is it the weak side guard? Is it a fullback? Is it somebody else on their lineup that's going to show me where the ball is going to go? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to do. Now, if I'm Oconee, I'm going to say, well, I know that they know that, so I'm going to do something a little bit different. We're going to run the same play in the same place, but we're going to do it from a different formation. We're going to go trips to the opposite side and still run to where we want to. So that's the little cat and mouse game that I'm going to be looking forward to. But I think from a defensive standpoint, Cherokee Bluff has a little bit of an advantage because Oconee doesn't throw the ball well, as you mentioned. And if they are predictable at all in what they want to do offensively, I think that'll be one of the keys to the ball game here.
Something I saw, Gary, pardon me for interrupting, I noticed when I was doing my chart here, they actually start two tight ends, not double tight end, but one on each side next to the wide receiver. So that'll be the first time we've seen two tight ends starting in this.
That's more of a wing T and a, you know, an option or a veer type of, hey, we got bigger guys up front. And every now and then they're going to run a play-action pass, right, and that tight end will go down the middle of the field, and he'll get 25 yards if they do it right.
Go ahead. That's why I call it old-fashioned football.
Right. Well, and the Bluffs got to tighten it up a little bit defensively, too. I think they're giving up about 21 points a game. Mm-hmm. If they can knock about 7 points off of that, I think they win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I think it'll be a close ball game either way, Mike. And if they get a break here and there, you always want to cut out on turnovers. Can't ever tell how much the ball gets wet tonight because you can see a sheen out in the middle of the field where they're going to be playing between the hash marks. That might make a difference when the ball gets damp tonight.
But, Joe, think about it, too. The big thing is, you know, each game is so important. With only five games in the region, you look at the powerhouse with Jefferson, you have Oconee County, Monroe area, and you got Cherokee Bluff, and the two other teams in Hall County with East Hall and West Hall, and who might squeak in as that number four position?
Exactly. Well, and you might have a West Hall team that will sneak in there this year. You know, you've got the ones that you mentioned right there, and you know, Oconee County has been them and Jefferson been fighting back and forth. Unfortunately for Jefferson, they lost their number one guy earlier this year. He's out for the season. Now, he's just a junior, so he'll be back. But that makes a lot of difference, and I think that hurt them a little bit last week.
But think about it, Joe. You have head-to-head competition. So tonight,
sure,
if Bluff wins this ball game, they really have a two-game advantage over the Warriors going later in the season.
Exactly, because they'll have that one game up on the Warriors. So so it makes it such a big, and it's a home game, gold out. So you want to win that one for sure.
Here's another thing. Before we go to break, I'm just curious. As Mike said, who's going to be number one? If Jefferson is going to be number one, my fight is for number two now. Mm-hmm. If anybody in the conference, the region, especially here at Cherokee Bluff, I'm fighting to be number two. So you get a home playoff game at first, and if we lose to the team that's going to win the region, and let's assume it is Jefferson, I still want to beat him, don't get me wrong, but if I don't, I still want to be number two. I'd rather be two than three or four. I want to qualify, of course, but my goal now is reset to be two, so you get at least one home game.
Home game, yeah.
And that would be critical as the playoffs start.
Again, you're tuned to the Wall Street Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM. Athletic Director Ralph Dealey telling us we'll start off this evening, kickoff at 8:20. So let's hope for a quick ball game this evening. We got much more for you coming up next here on 97.5 Glory FM.
The voice of Longstreet Cafe.
Mary, did you know Longstreet Cafe supports great programs like FCA? Northeast Georgia FCA is working to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes.
And they do a great job of making their mission work through the E3 strategy of making disciples who make disciples. I remember that from my days in school.
Yeah, FCA has been around a while.
Hey now, find out more at ghcfca.org.
Hey folks, this is Jeff Dale. Wanted to welcome you to Friday Night Football in North Georgia. The game is on tonight. I wanted you to know I'm in the game with an HVAC business called Optimum Mechanical. We specialize in residential and commercial HVAC. Service, replacement, new construction. Let us help you on your next project. Optimum Mechanical, 678-780-7251.
Ever feel like your house is just missing a little something? Custom window treatments can go a long way to making your house feel like a home. Call Millie's Drapery and Decorating today for the best in custom drapery, blinds, shades, and shutters. We can schedule for one of our designers to come out to your home, take measurements, and give you an estimate right there on site. That's Millie's Drapery and Decorating, 1732 Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, or give us a call at 770-532-3819.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
And we're back here at Cherokee Bluff. Joe Gailey, Gary Glenn, Harper LaBelle, Mike Warford with you here. The game time will be at around 8:20 this evening. And good news for you, Joe, is that they are playing in the Dahlonega with Lumpkin County and White County right now. So that tells you that the weather's gotten better north of us.
Got on out of there then. That's good. That's good.
Off to our north, you can see blue sky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see the clouds breaking up and the sun was shining in right before the rain came in, Gary. And now that the sun's going down because the days are shorter now, but you do see some somewhat blue sky and behind the clouds there.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will get on out of here in the next few minutes. That's what we're hoping for. Harper, how many times did you get to play in the mush when you were playing college football out at Colorado State?
I got to play a couple of times in high school.
Okay.
And back in those days, there weren't any turf.
Everything
fields.
Was
everything was good old grass. Can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
My neighbor was the principal at North Gwinnett High School, John Green. And one day I was going to run out on the track. This was about 10 years ago. And John comes out and, what are you doing here? That's what he says to me. I go, I'm going to just go run on the track. I'm going to maybe run a half a mile or something and then run some 40s. And he says, oh, just as long as you don't go on that field. You look at that field, isn't it? Look, and it was immaculate. It was they had redone it, and I asked him. I said, how much did you put into this? It looks fantastic. It was Harper. It was over $85,000 that we put into this field. And I don't want you on it. I don't want you looking at it. I don't want you near it. Don't breathe on it. Don't do anything to it. I want this grass to look great the whole season long. Wouldn't you know the second home game at torrential rain pour,
oh, no.
And the field was worthless.
Was
after
worthless.
That, he just basically gave away a check for $85,000. Yep. And so now everybody has four turf.
But,
you know,
Gary, I can ask Gary the same question because I'm sure – I know you played on only grass because that's all they had when we came up.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you played in the slop a little bit down at Jefferson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we played. Unless the thunderstorms are right over you, you just played.
You played.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, of course, and I'm glad it's the way it is now because, you know, nobody messes around with lightning. But most of the time, most of our Friday nights were clear.
Mm-hmm.
We played sometimes in that – in the slot, like you said, we always had fun when we did that. We always thought that was a lot of fun.
If you go back in the records, you'll see it was my first, second year in broadcasting, and Gainesville High was playing Central Gwinnett down in Lawrenceville on a Friday night, and their field had been chewed up, Joe, and it was just nothing but dirt. I mean, there was no grass on the field, and it was raining as hard as you could see it rain. And the lights, you know, it was shining down, it's puddled up, and it was just reflecting up. And all you could see was the glare from the lights on the rain that was puddled up on the field. And the referee goes down there, puts the ball down, and the ball floats. I mean, they couldn't even keep it on the field. There was so much water, it would float. It'd be, okay, give me a center, put the ball down, now start playing, that kind of thing.
Harper? Real quick, I just wanted to say there's something special. Now, my mom would say differently, but the smell of a uniform after it's been all wet and muddy and it couldn't get any dirtier.
That's back in the days when moms had to laundry it too.
Well, my mom certainly did a lot of laundry, and she would argue, you know, bless her heart, is there was nothing about that smell that was anywhere close to being anything that I would it was repulsive every time.
By itself.
But I'm saying I miss the fact that there aren't any dirty jerseys anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I love the fact that, you know you played.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah,
now the
true.
Kids come off, and the biggest thing they got to worry about is all these little tiny rubber
pellets
that get in their shoes.
So, Gary, I don't know how Coach Lofton was at Jefferson, but my senior year when I played at North Hall, we had a coaching change as John Corley, who was a coach, he was a promoted athletic director. And prior to that, he got the field. We had like an early practice. And first they go, all right, everybody hit the ground. And he'd want you just to go ahead and just do a face plant because it was dew on the ground. He wants you to get wet and experience that first thing.
Get it over with.
And your uniform, your practice, you're just soaked head to toe. Now let's get ready to play ball, that kind of thing, you know.
Well, and practice, you know, you never took it home.
Yep.
You just kind of stood it up in the corner because by the end of the week it would stand by itself.
Exactly.
You just got to get it wet like that. My most vivid weather memory, though, was not in a game. It was in a practice. And it was a spring practice. And you mentioned Coach Lofton, Jim Lofton.
Uh-huh.
And in those days, I'm thinking we practiced like right in like February, right after wrestling season.
Yes.
And
yep.
It was – that day it was freezing rain. Serious freezing rain.
Yes.
And I looked around and people had icicles hanging off of their helmets.
Yep, face mask.
And we were so cold. I was playing center and I think Coach Lofton's – son Jimmy was the quarterback, and I couldn't snap it, and he couldn't receive it. Our fingers were just frozen. And finally, Coach Lofton looked around and said, "Oh, blank, we ain't getting nothing done. Let's go in." And we all went, "Thank God,
thank goodness." Hey, in 1976, Mike and I were the only two people standing at the old North Hall field in a deluge between North Hall and Riverside. It was homecoming, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was.
And Mike and I, honestly, were two of maybe four people there. And we stood there the whole time in no clothes, no umbrellas.
There was no place to go.
Yeah, nowhere to go.
We
stood there.
You stood with no clothes, Joe?
Well, just in our clothes. I almost wish I was in clothes.
At least have put a trench coat on.
Hey, Joe. Good news for you again.
Yeah.
Jefferson to West Hall is about getting ready to kick off over in Oakwood, just to the west
awesome.
Of us.
Good deal. No, won't be long.
And they're coming.
Well, and there you got O'Connor County trotting out there looking like they're fixing to do warm-ups, so that's good. Might get to start a little earlier here. But, yeah, Mike and I stood in that torrential rain, and that night, because of the way the crown was in the middle of the field and you had drains over around the 25-yard line on either side of the field, guys, and I remember, and Mike does too, they made a tackle on the Riverside. Tony Bryce was running up the sideline. They tackled him and ran him out of bounds, and they're sliding. They slid probably 30 yards, and they had to actually physically, two guys pull Tony off of the drain because he was being sucked down with the force.
He was underwater.
He
was underwater.
Honestly, and it's always we Tony joke about
needed, it. Tony needed a little more work in the weight room. Yeah,
we had a Stephen King movie. I think
that was what Tony and I are related now by marriage, and I tease him all the time. I said, you know, you remember the time you almost drowned your sophomore year? He said, yeah, I do every now and then. Thanks for reminding me.
One thing you asked me about the cold weather, and for Gary to mention the practice in the spring in February, I don't care who you are or how long you've been around, I am going to slap you on the back of your rear end as hard as I can when it gets cold like that. There's very few things in life that sting as much as that. And
that's
I received and I gave. So it was almost like Christmas. Mm-hmm. But, boy, the cold practices because of the tradition of just mm-hmm. what it is. And you're thinking, Harper, you're the goofiest dude ever. No, they talk to Greg Maddux want to talk about, you know, guys that do goofy stuff.
Oh, I bet so.
Amazing. But that's one of the things about what cold weather does. Now, we don't have the cold weather, but we do have the wet.
Good news, the referees are out here at the 50-yard line. Cherokee Bluff's down here to my right. Warming up, Michael, and a few of the Warriors from Oconee County have come out to warm up.
So it could be closer to 8 o'clock as we first thought here. So stay tuned. We got much more for you coming back at this time out. Got the Low Street Cafe pregame show on 97.5 Glory FM.
Back to the doctor. Make sure you go to Riverside Pharmacy for all of your health needs. They have everything from hand sanitizers to all of the vitamins you'll need. But if your child does get sick, then the expert pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy can get your family back to school by filling all of your prescriptions. They'll even deliver them in the Gainesville area. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Give me an L, give me an O, give me an N.
Hope Bunch, the voice of Longstreet Cafe, what you doing?
I'm putting our cheer together for our tailgate season. Whether you're taking our home-cooked favorites to the game or eating with us afterwards, we've got something for everyone.
So what can I do to help?
Glad you asked, Mary. I need you to take care of our mascots.
No, wait.
Thanks, Mary, and they'll need to stay at Cheer House, too.
She did it to me again.
Longstreet Cafe with two Gainesville locations.
Summer heat is here in North Georgia, and Conditioned Air Systems is here for you. With 24/7 service for your air conditioning and plumbing repair needs, we will keep you cool, comfortable, and dry all summer long. Our family and team have been delivering reliable, quality service for HVAC and plumbing when you need it for over 45 years. Give Conditioned Air Systems a call at 1-800-AC-REPAIR.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Well, the weather's getting better here at Yona Field at Cherokee Bluff. It's Gold Out Night, as Joe was mentioning about. That is for childhood cancer and trying to eliminate cancer for all children. And think about the great job that St. Jude does, and with the concert we usually always have the 1st of August with the great work Stanley Pierce does with he and his wife. And as one of the things here, Joe, we could talk a long time about people we've known who've gone through childhood cancer. That big thing tonight with the Gold Out tonight.
Yep.
You're going to see a lot of gold in both teams tonight.
Well, and I look at the student section down here. They're all wearing United in Gold down here, T-shirts and some big hats, gold, and some there's a gold golden wig down there. So we're seeing a lot of it for sure, and a very worthwhile cause. And I know North Hall had it last week during homecoming.
There's a little mustard gold, and then there's the shiny, like Notre Dame's helmet, the chrome gold, a little bit of all of that. So it doesn't matter, but I kind of like the shiny chrome gold a little bit. Little bit better.
Much better than the mustard gold, trust me, yes.
Yeah. Mustard gold is the old North Hall way back when uniforms, if you remember that, Michael.
Well, would you call mustard gold a tech color?
It's worse than that.
Is it worse?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But trust me, yeah, much worse.
Much worse.
Yes. It's like a golden mustard color, you know, worse than what you
not,
get
not
in
golden.
Store.
It's more like a yellow mustard. Right? That's less respect.
Yes,
no doubt
about it.
Okay, Mike.
Anyway, Joe, we can start talking. I guess about this ball game here. Looking forward to what's going on here. We may have a kickoff here soon. I bet some starting lineups. How about that?
I can do that for you. Oconee County on their side of football. On the offensive side, the center will be number 58, John David Marable. The guards will be 68, Felix Pena, and 64, Grant Davis. The tackles will be 59, Nate Nelson, and 70, Gavin Bray. The tight ends, 43, Clark Stewart, and 86, Mason Hall. Wide receivers on either side, 16, Blake Thomas, 17, Braden Stevens. The quarterback tonight, number 14, Brady Fountain. I'm figuring you'll see number 11, Brady Hanna, come in the game. So you'll see a Brady at quarterback tonight for Oconee County. Running backs will be Josh Wolfel and number 3, Caden Wood. Pardon me there for a second. Now on the defensive side for Cherokee Bluff, you'll have nose guard will be number 60, Hudson Davis. Defensive end, 59, Joel Woodson. And number 0, Tony Russian. You'll also see Will Smith at a defensive end, and Bryce Fontenot, Cam Moore will be at a nose guard sub. Linebackers will be Brett Pierce, 43, number 5, Connor Cook, Maddox Sudilovich, number 10, and number 7, Eric Johansson will be your linebackers. Cornerbacks will be Dylan Haley, number 8, and then Braden Couch will be the other defensive cornerback. Free safety will be Cole Brooks, number 1, and Brock Hall, number 21, with Malcolm Millsap coming in at times. On the other side of the football, Cherokee Bluff, center, number 63, Cam Moore. Number 58, Grant McElroy will be one guard. Number 50, Izzy Alamany will be the other guard. The tackles, 78, Jordan Maddox. And 55, Cohen Carter. Tight end, Maddox Sudilovich, number 10. Wide receiver, number 8, Dylan Haley. And wide receiver, number 6, Malcolm Millsap. In the slot position, he'll be back and forth everywhere tonight. Number 1, Cole Brooks, quarterback. Number 3, Cooper Dean. The fullback, 43, Brett Pierce. And the tailback, Jackson Perkle, number 11. Defensively for the Oconee County Warriors, 84, Hatcher Hogan will be a defensive end. The other defensive end, 36, Drake Harrison. Robert Evans will be the nose guard, number 99. 86, Mason Hall will be on that front line as a bandit, they'll call him. Linebackers will be 42, Darius Darden, 10, Hudson Stevens, and 47, Connor Jackson. Cornerbacks, Aiden Fitch, number 2, and number 6, Sincere Sainer. And free safety will be 9, Wyatt Eisner, and number 4, Micah Allen at the strong safety position.
All right, coming up next, we'll try to find out a correct starting time for us here. We're getting close, though. It's Cherokee Bluff in Oconee County. Reaches 8 triple action from Flyer Branch. You're tuned to 97.5 Glory FM.
At Jackson EMC, innovation is an ongoing cycle, a process without a beginning or an end, where one idea leads to the next. Solar power, electric vehicle programs, energy-efficient right choice homes, automated switch technology. What we do as an industry is vital. We keep communities powered. So we must always have an eye on the future. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
Hi, Hope Bunch, the voice of Longstreet Cafe.
Mary, did you know Longstreet Cafe supports great programs like FCA? Northeast Georgia FCA is working to see the world transformed by Jesus Christ through the influence of coaches and athletes.
And they do a great job of making their mission work through the E3 strategy of making disciples who make disciples. I remember that from my days in school.
Yeah, FCA has been around a while.
Hey now, find out more at ghcfca.org.
This is Matt Nix, president of Duplicating Products. Our local business has served Northeast Georgia with trusted office equipment and local service support for over 50 years. We're proud to support high school football and proud to help businesses stay up and running with fast personal service. As the region's largest independent Canon, Ricoh, and HP dealer, we offer the industry's best equipment backed by real local people. When your copier or printer goes down, we're there fast. Visit duplicatingproducts.com. We're local and ready to serve you.
It's kickoff time, Gainesville, and Hardy Chevrolet has the winning lineup you've been waiting for. From rugged Silverados to family-ready SUVs, our inventory is stacked for every game. And customer service? It's always first string. Visit Hardy Chevrolet at 2115 Brownsbridge Road, Gainesville, Georgia. Hardy Chevrolet, where you're always part of the hometown team. Together, let's drive.
Well, it's going to be about 8:15 to 8:20 because the clock is about 25 minutes away from the kickoff of today's game. So they're going to have a long time down the field getting ready for this game, guys.
Yeah, they got about, we're looking at right now, 25 minutes to get warmed up. But if you think about it, warm-up time is usually like that. They'll probably warm up for 15, maybe 20, go back in, and then they'll have their come out with the bands or the streamers, whatever they're going to come out with tonight, I'm sure. All the pomp and circumstance, if you will.
And a lot of the Oconee County players just now coming out.
Yeah.
So they haven't been out like these people that are warming up over here. Yeah, the officiating crew tonight, your referee and the guy in the white hat is going to be John Heath. Brad Lurie is the umpire. Tyler Hobby's the line judge. Head lineman is Pat Putter. Side judge is Derobius Brown. Field judge is Ryan Brown. Again, tonight we will not have an official back judge tonight. Michael Langley on the electric clock, and the play clock is Tavares Holt. So
we didn't have a back judge last week, if I remember
right, did
we?
No, I don't know. We did either. You guys,
were talking about maybe it's a shorthanded because there are six games in Hall County tonight.
Maybe. Well,
then with Dawson and Lumpkin County playing at home, there's, you know, eight games locally.
I think in the postseason they're probably going to be required to have seven officials on the field. In the two.
Yeah, well, so it'll be a little bit more picky at that time because you can, and even if you have to split associations or whatever. So.
I've talked to some officials, and this is for another conversation on another day, but there is a shortage.
Yes.
They need officials. So if you're interested, they are looking, and I'm not sure what the pay is, but if you're qualified,
yeah.
It's first year guys, it's usually JV games is usually around $70 a game, varsity's around $100 a game, which is about twice as much as we made when I was doing it.
Well,
early scores, Mike, Lumpkin County on top of White 7-0, North Hall on top of Pickens 7-0.
So North Hall was down 7-0 off the bus.
No, North Hall,
but you know, I'm saying,
North
you know, they're off 7-0 by off the bus, but now they're up 7-0
from that
standpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
And Coach Pender found out real quickly his first experience going to Jasper, and you know, he found what I was talking about.
Yeah, it's a different place. That turf, guys, is different and is real short, and it gets slicker quicker. I don't think it rained near as much as it has over here, so that's probably made a lot of difference tonight, too.
High school is down there. It's a gorgeous view when you drive down that long driveway to get to the high school.
Yeah. Oh, at Jasper at Pickens County?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
And they have to use, and they spend all that money on that, and they have one baseball / softball field.
Mm.
They do both, and it screws up some players when you're looking at it. And I know when I saw it last year, I was like, why is that brown? Yeah, but it is. You got brown places for your softball, and you got the green turf for baseball, which is weird.
Well, and to Harper's point about officials, you know, and it's not just football.
No, it's every sport.
It's all across the board with basketball, wrestling, softball, baseball, umpires. It's every sport. It's hard to get people interested in coming out anymore.
Well, I know every year when basketball starts, I tease Mike because I'll go down and I'll talk with the officials before first game and just find if there's any rule changes, whatever. And I walk in, if it's some guys I know, they say, so are you coming back this year? Because, I refereed basketball for so long. I said, no, I believe I'll take another year off. I'm enjoying it where I'm at.
Well, by the way, guys, they just started. They've rolled the clock now, and it's 21 minutes and 54 seconds.
Good deal. So knocked it down some. That's good.
So, it'll be between 8:15 and 8:20 by the time we kick things off this evening. So, hopefully, as we were talking about, maybe a quick ball game, we still maybe get out of here and a decent time this evening. But after our broadcast this evening, we'll join the GHSA Friday Night Scoreboard Show in progress. We'll see how weather has affected games across the state of Georgia. And then I'll be with you as soon as I can from that standpoint. We may not have a final score this evening, but we'll be with you tomorrow morning at 9:05 for the Saturday Morning Sports Show. As we'll talk high school, college, and pro sports. Harper will join me tomorrow morning by phone to talk about some NFL football, and they'll talk about the Atlanta Falcons, what they have to do to get better for their game on Sunday with the Washington Commanders and their former coach Dan Quinn. And then no college football this week for us. Georgia State has the weekend off. They return to play a week from tomorrow, 3:30 p.m. on October 4th as they take on James Madison, and the Dukes take on Georgia Southern tomorrow. So you get a chance maybe a little scouting, Harper, to get ready for your broadcast next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Instead of being downtown at Center Park, I'm going to be right back here. My son has a doubleheader baseball game for
the right.
Fall tournament that he's part of. So, yeah, the longer that I'm here, Mike, I might as well just think about maybe if I just stay in the parking lot.
So he's going to be here?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, yeah, the Chick-fil-A cow's here. Maybe you can get breakfast and lunch there tomorrow, too.
There you go.
It's still open on Saturday. So it's right down the road. And
We're back in the baseball business this Sunday, too.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, something I don't think we've touched on. The coaches, Tommy Jones, Cherokee Bluff, Ben Hall of Oconee County, have known each other a very long time. They actually played together at Furman.
Did they really?
You heard that on game plan. Uh-huh. Coach Jones talking about they played together in college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
the Paladins.
So they've known each other for several years.
Several years.
Yeah. And a coaching family from both of them, I understand. I know Tommy's brother was a longtime coach. Their dad was a coach, so it's been in the family for a long time. Yep. Just of interest, I know Mike mentioned it earlier, Flower Branch played last night over at East Forsyth. It is Forsyth County's spring break or fall break this week. I think it's one reason they moved some of those around, but Flower Branch won that one 38-19 last night over at East Forsyth, Mike.
And they jumped up to a 17-0 first quarter lead, and they had a couple of big plays in the ballgame. Also, the Broncos committed three turnovers, which was very uncharacteristic for Coach Cannon's team, and it was the Falcons taking advantage of those miscues. And, they're off. They've only lost that first game of the season, Joe. Since that time, they've been rolling.
Right. They've been, and, Flower Branch, they've got the ball first last night, an 8-minute drive to start the game, and ran the ball, mixed a couple passes in. They looked very good listening to it last night. It sounded like they were doing real well.
Yep. So they're 2-0 in region play, and that's what we're looking at now. This tonight is the first game in region play. And as I was talking to even Matt Turner at East Hall playing Monroe area, and I said, hey, no matter what happened in the first half of the season, now you start fresh, you're 0-0, then you can worry about now what's going to happen the rest of the season.
Right. And, I know that Matt, they're what, 2-3 going into the region schedule, starting tonight with Monroe area. And they'd love to get off to a fast start in the region side of their branch or schedule tonight.
Absolutely. And the same thing. You got a battle for first place over in Jasper with North Hall and Pickens with the Trojans leading 7-0 early, because you have GAC, Pickens, and North Hall all tied at 2-0 going into tonight's ball game. And this, you hit the home stretch now because the season ends on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And then as early as we've ever ended the high school football season, if it's okay, it's going to be over before you know it.
Well, we start so doggone early, and I'm a proponent of us starting later. But that's because I'm thinking about the thunderstorms coming up, the heat of the year. Plus on these kids, Harper, that's one big thing that I've noticed a lot, that some kids across the state of Georgia have had a lot of heat-related injuries or illnesses or whatever the last couple seasons.
Yeah, when you start in the middle of August, I think this year, the 18th, 16th, somewhere in that region, was the first game. And, not going back in the old memory well, but we started 2 days back in high school back in those days.
Exactly.
And you started in late July.
Talking about memory, guys, if I can say, let's don't forget, just past the top of the hour. Let's pause 10 seconds for Safe Sound Navigation here on 97.5 Glory FM.
97.5 Glory FM is WGTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.
Well, the good news is we can hear the band in the background, so that means, they're here. And they won't have to go home because of the rain. So that's a good thing that we know the weather's getting better, guys.
Yeah, they're coming on out here. Bad news for Valhalla. Monroe area has jumped out to a big lead in the first quarter, 21-3.
Ooh, mercy.
On top of East Hall, according to this.
Crescent Moon out behind the press box, guys. I made my way down to the field. We'll see.
Excellent. Maybe we'll stay out there the rest of the night.
So, Gary, give us an idea what's going on down there.
Well, they got the bands lined up, and they've taken up most of the field here at Cherokee Bluff. And we got the football players behind them. They're still warming up. The mist that you see in the lights now is not rain. It's fog.
Ah,
so
gotcha.
That's what we got going on now. We don't have any rain falling now, so maybe that's blown on past. Like I said, I'm looking back, and there's a slim sliver of a crescent moon right off to my right shoulder right here. So I think that the break in the clouds maybe has come, and we're going to be okay.
Well, the referees are going to have to throw, or the banderets are going to throw a flag on the referee right quick, because they're moving the band up into a really tight formation here in front of us, squeezing them to the sideline. So I don't know if they'll be able to play or not.
I almost got taken out by the Chick-fil-A cow right then.
Oh, I'd like to see that battle. That'd be a great picture right there.
I don't think he saw me or it saw whatever. Whatever the cow
is. It did not.
It did not see me. I don't think you can see very well in that suit.
Well, Freddie Falcon's here also, Gary. If you look over to your left a little bit, he's taking a picture with the cow.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Freddie doesn't talk a whole heck of a lot, so I don't know if he'll have a pretty good interview.
Oh, that's the bear. That's the bear mascot.
Okay.
Right. And then Freddie's also
bear,
running around.
You got Freddie Falcon right there next to the...
Yeah. There were a couple of Falcon cheerleaders here a little while ago. They took some photos, and obviously this is just a hop, skip, and a jump from where the facility is. So
that's the Cherokee Bluff band that you're hearing in the background now as the clock rolls down under 15 minutes before kickoff. And hopefully we'll get ready as both teams are warming up now. I'm sure they'll go about another 5-8 minutes, and then they'll probably retreat to their dressing rooms, their last minute instructions, and they'll come out through their runouts like they normally do and be ready to play some football as the Chick-fil-A cow is dancing to the music going up the sideline there. So.
And I got a feeling we're probably going with the band down there. Probably have a national anthem being probably played here in just a couple of minutes.
I would think so. And now there's two Chick-fil-A cows.
Yeah, and Freddie Falcon.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if it's going to be a...
who knows?
Oklahoma drill. Yeah, Oklahoma drill with cows.
I'd hate to be double-teamed by a cow.
That could happen tonight.
Could happen.
Yep. Freddie's got really good feet. You know, Freddie can move. Yep. And have you ever seen him fall from the top of the rafters there at the dome where he's on
surely
this
he's
little...
he's attached to something, right?
Of course he is, yes. he's not bungee jumping it, but it's pretty close to that. Yeah, there's some repelling wire that he's connected to, yeah. And it is a thing of art to watch this
that's pretty good
person right. In a costume fall as fast and as far as they do. It is I don't have that. I'm afraid of edges.
You don't want to do that, do you?
I was in the World Trade Tower once, and that's all I needed to see. I got near the edge, and that's I'm good. No, I'm real good. I'm going to stay right here.
I'm comfortable where I am.
That's right.
Yep.
So Gary, how's the field conditions down there?
In the field?
Yes.
Yeah. Very little water that I can see.
How about that?
There's a, like Joe has already said, right in the middle there's a bit of a sheen that... It's a little shiny where there might be just a tad of standing water, but not a whole lot.
All right, so we should have good conditions here for the game this evening. It's Oconee County and Cherokee Bluff, and we'll wait to see when they get ready for the playing of the national anthem. We'll take our time out then to get ready for the coin toss to take place this evening. And Gary will have that for you down at midfield.
Yeah, and does the Cherokee Bluff band do this extensive pre-game concert before every game, or is this special because of the
weather? Yeah, because the players, they go back into the locker rooms, Gary, yep. and then so they get a chance to, probably 10 minutes to do a couple of songs, and the fight song, of course, and then they'll do an alma mater, and then national anthem before the team comes out, the captains meet at midfield.
Well, it doesn't look like North Oconee's band is here, but it's small, as well as their crowd is. And so that might make a little bit of difference there tonight in that
national anthem, Mike.
Yeah, the national anthem, as Mike says, is going to take place right now.
Let's pause timeout. We're back with more after this on 97.5 Glory FM.
Hey, folks, this is Jeff Dale. Wanted to welcome you to Friday Night Football in North Georgia. The game is on tonight. I wanted you to know I'm in the game with an HVAC business called Optimum Mechanical. We specialize in residential and commercial HVAC. Service, replacement, new construction. Let us help you on your next project. Optimum Mechanical, 678-780-7251.
Ever feel like your house is just missing a little something? Custom window treatments can go a long way to making your house feel like a home. Call Millie's Drapery and Decorating today for the best in custom drapery, blinds, shades, and shutters. We can schedule for one of our designers to come out to your home, take measurements, and give you an estimate right there on site. That's Millie's Drapery and Decorating, 1732 Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, or give us a call at 770-532-3819.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
Good evening, everyone. This is Clint Fair, the North Georgia Director with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, here on 97.5 Glory FM Friday Night Football. If you could, please join us as we pray to kick off this Friday night. Lord, we thank you for loving us. God, we thank you for who you are. God, help us tonight, God, to look to you in all things. Thank you for the tools and the gifts that you've blessed these coaches and athletes with as they perform all across North Georgia, competing in this great game of football. God, watch over, protect them. God, help us to live for you. Help them to live for you. God, we thank you for radio stations like 97.5, Glory FM. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. God, we love you. Again, watch over and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
97.5, Glory FM, WGTJ presents Friday Night Football in North Georgia. Tonight's game is brought to you by Conditioned Air Systems, NGPG Ortho and Sports Medicine, Jackson EMC, Duplicating Products, Hardy Chevrolet, Siphon Logistics, Optimum Mechanical, Millie's Drapery and Decorating, North Hall Tire and Wheel, EMC Security, and by Riverside Pharmacy. It's time for the kickoff of Friday Night Football in North Georgia on 97.5 Glory FM WGTJ.
And we are getting close to the kickoff of Friday Night Football in North Georgia from Yona Field at Cherokee Bluff High School in Flower Branch. Down the sidelines, Gary Glenn here in the booth, Joe Gailey, Harper LaBelle, Mike Warford with you here. Everyone now is getting ready to start. No one has kicked off in Hall County yet. I can tell you, Joe, an update, East Hall and Monroe area, they will not kick off for about another hour. So that what you information you had was incorrect.
Oh, really? Okay.
So they have not started yet. Gainesville High is about to kick off in about 5 minutes with Johns Creek, and also looking at Johnson and Chesapeake starting their game, and so also the Lakeview Academy Riverside Prep game also at McGinnis Field this evening. So we'll have all the details for you this evening, and of course tomorrow morning. If I don't have the final score for you this evening, I'll have all the details for you to talk to coaches and reporters tomorrow morning at 9:05 on the Saturday Morning Sports Show right here on 97.5. Glory FM. Time to get the picture, Joe.
Get the picture, and you got all in white, white tops, white helmets, white pants with big blue numbers. Result Coney County warming up down there. On the other end, you got purple shirts, white bottoms, and white helmets for the Cherokee Bluff Bears. The captains are getting together now at, I think the referees have them squared up down there. No, they're still warming up down there. I thought that was them getting together.
And the Coney County people are all grouped together down at their end of the field, but Cherokee Bluff did decide to go back in for a brief moment or two.
Looks like that captains that I can see are going to be Malcolm Millsap. I think Jackson Perkle is one of them. The other two, I'm not sure right now. I think that is the running back, Pierce, Rhett Pierce, and then big number 55 is one of them, Cohen Carter, looks like. And number five, Connor Cook, is going to be one of those captains now for Cherokee Bluff and for Oconee County. They're on the far side, but they're all running off as a unit, so I'm not sure if the captains are going to get together right quick or not. Referees are wanting them to because they're acting like they want to get started, don't they?
Yeah.
Cheerleaders are standing down with their banner ready to hold up, and Cherokee Bluff ready on the far end. They've got to go all the way to the far end down there, make the boys get a workout tonight. I'll get the captains for Oconee County. Looks like Hudson Stevens is going to be one of them, number 10. Number 11, maybe, Brody Hanna might be one of them. Still trying to get the other two. 40-something. Might be Connor Jackson. 47 might be one. And there's one more. I can't get his number. Anyway, those are your captains for tonight's game.
Well, I've got a nod from Ben Hall, who is, of course, no stranger to this particular area, and he's been around Northeast Georgia for a while now, at Jefferson for a while, right?
Mm-hmm. And Flower Branch for going to Oconee County.
And he got a hoof from the Chick-fil-A cow, so I guess I'm ready.
A hoof, not a high five.
We should hand a hoof.
Yep.
And both teams now have left the field, so he'd stayed out for quite a while warming up, but you still got 5 minutes and change on the clock over here before it hits zeros.
Now, your captains are down in the corners there, Gary, so yeah. I'm figuring they're going to try and get together. Of course, you usually have the officials up there with you, but nobody's up there with you yet.
Not yet.
So we're still waiting then.
But I think the rain has blown on past us. It may be still heading for East Hall.
It has.
Up there at Valhalla.
GAC and Dawson County are tied at 7. According to this, this is in the second quarter.
Not quite, Joe.
Not quite?
For that standpoint. Okay. Hey, also, continued prayers for Coach Jabo Shaw's brother, Connor Shaw. Talked with Jabo yesterday, and Connor did have some health issues with his heart when he collapsed last Wednesday at his son's Park Rec game in Simpsonville, South Carolina, and he was taken to the hospital in Greenville, South Carolina, where he was in the ICU throughout the weekend, and he did get to go home, according to Jabo, and so he is doing much better. Prayers are being answered for Connor Shaw.
According to this, Lumpkins on top of White, 14-0. North Hall's on top of Pickens, 10-0. Over in Jasper, Georgia, big games in 6-3A this evening. Down under the 5-minute mark, 4 minutes now as we get ready to listen to some music because Mr. Brad's cranking it up over there for us.
Well, we're at the midway point of the season. People are heavy into their region schedules by now.
Yep. Some are a weekend. Some are just starting tonight. This region here is just starting tonight with the five teams. That's all they'll play the rest of the year. There come the captains.
Here we go.
Marching up the sideline.
All right, I got referee John Heath right here to my right, so I'll walk out there with him.
Good deal.
And as you said, Joe, purple tops, white bottoms, white helmets for the Bears, and Oconee County all in white with the blue numbers.
Should be able to see a little further away than we are at North Hall, but I can see everything.
We got some big kids. I'm telling you what, Oconee's got a couple of big kids. They're not massive, you know, big heavy guys, but they are
thick,
very athletic, small-waisted, big shoulder guys.
Tall.
Nate Nelson was their other captain, number 59, for Oconee County.
Yeah, I see a lot of guys from Oconee County, to your point, Harper. 6'2 or better.
I was 6'2 many, many years ago.
Were you really?
Yeah. I've never been over 5'9 in my life. Are you kidding?
In your dreams.
In my dreams. I wanted to be 6'2.
Yes.
And when I stood on. All right, let's
find a spot here.
Got some dead spots here. We're going to move around. Yeah, when I stood on the step ladder, I was 6'2. Here we go.
I'm being selected captain. You're the team of leaders tonight. The word of the night is sportsmanship, all right? Help each other up, play to the whistle, play fair, play hard. If we have an issue with one of your teammates, I expect you guys to come forward. If we have a question about penalty enforcement, we want a captain to come forward, all right? Oconee, the visiting team. The GHSA is heads. The American flag is tails. I'm going to flip it and let it hit the ground, but first you're going to call it.
Tails.
Tails is called. It is heads.
All right. John Hanna called tails. It was heads, and so Cherokee Bluff will win the toss, but they will defer.
As that means they'll kick things off. The Oconee County Warriors will get the football to start things off. Here on 97.5 Glory FM as we bring you Friday Night Football, this region 8AAA opener. And I was told by Nathan this is the GHSA Game of the Week. And we'll have the GHSA scoreboard show at the end of our broadcast this evening. We're with you until midnight with high school football right here on your radio station home for North Georgia Sports, 97.5 Glory FM, online at WGTJradio.com. We're streaming on the TuneIn Radio app, the Simple Radio app, the Radio Garden app, and home of your Amazon Echo. Say play 97.5 Glory FM and avoid those annoying TuneIn ads that say enable the skill 97.5 Glory FM on your Alexa Amazon Echo device as we get ready for the kickoff of high school football. And now we'll see how quick we can play this ball game, Joe.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be running all night tonight. If we make some start out, Cherokee Bluff will be going left to right as you look at your radio dial from the parking lot basically towards the baseball complex. And Oconee County will be going the opposite here in the first half, right to left. Jacob Giuliano will be the kicker for Cherokee Bluff. Back to receive it for Oconee County will be Caden Wood and Sincere Sainer and Joshua Wolfel. 3, 6, and 21, respectively.
Joe on the
squared bluff, away.
The Bear defense, keep these names in mind. Connor Cook, Hudson Davis, Max Satolovich, Brett Pierce, and Joel Woodson. They got a bunch of tackles. Tackles for loss and sacks between them, so you may be calling those names a lot tonight.
Yeah. The linebackers, guys, especially, and also look at Hall there, the deep back, who also can make a lot of tackles on blitzes.
Yeah, the three of the linebackers, defensive linemen, you got Davis, Cooks, Satolovich, and Pierce together, Gary, have 15, 20, 23 and a half tackles for loss so far this season in their five games. So that's pretty good, about four games, so see how they do. They start two little units there, 5 and 5, as you get the picture here. And the kicker, Giuliano, stands back about the 31, 32-yard line, and he approaches the football, and toe meets leather. Good high end-over-end kick. The left footer will come down at the 5. Out to the 10, the 15, the 20, trying to find the gap. He does. Tried to strip the ball. He's out to about the 25. Tackle of the run there was by number 3, Caden Wood, and number 27. It looked like made the tackle.
Eric Johnson, Johansson.
Johansson, nice. 7. Yeah, he was
seven. Number 7.
He was
gotcha.
Part of that. He's 6'1", 205. So Bluff's got some size, too.
All right, Brody Hanna pulled a fast one on me, guys. Hanna's going to come out at the quarterback position.
Well, he's played some, but the sophomore had relieved him for a while.
You've got Wood in the backfield. And you've got 4 wideouts, 3 on the far side, balls on the near hash mark. Hand off to Wood. Wood's coming this way. Got a little hold of the 30, 31, 32. One guy rides him out to about the 33-yard line. That was number 28, gain of 8 yards. Number 28 on the stop.
Braden Couch. Couch really rode him down, Joe. He grabbed him up around the numbers and then just kept sliding down his body till he finally tripped him up.
Kind of unusual to be second down and about 1, maybe 1.5 now. Got to get to the 35. Ball is spotted on about the 33.5. They'll flip-flop a tight end. They have 2 tight ends in their set. Give it off to Wood. Wood coming around the near side. He'll have the first down. Across the 35, helmet to helmet, right against number 6 that time. Malcolm Millsap made the tackle.
Boy, Millsap, a senior. I heard that, and I had my headphones on over here. Millsap at 6'1", 175 can hit you pretty hard, and he did that time. But it still got the first down.
First down at the 37 for Oconee County. All in white with their blue numbers and blue trim. Hanna makes a tight end step back. That's going to be Mason Hall. He goes to the other side, hand off to Wood. Wood going to run it. He got lost his footing right there to 38 and fell down. He gets about 1.5 yards down to almost a 39. Connor Cook, one of the backers, comes in and makes the stop.
And Johansson, the senior linebacker again, there close to the ball as well.
Almost a 2-yard gain, Gary. Second down and 8. Good crowd here for this game tonight.
It was a slow arriving crowd when we got here. Of course, now that, the weather might have chased some people away.
Probably stayed in their cars till the weather lightened up some. Hanna takes the snap, back to pass, looks, throws it over the middle, almost intercepted. Right there, number 8, Dylan Haley from his corner position almost had that when he tipped it away. The intended receiver was, I believe, Mason Hall, one of the tight ends, came across from the other side. And had he caught it, it would have been into Cherokee Bluff territory, but a little high, and Haley knocks it away.
It looked almost like a volleyball set, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Well, he hit it with both hands, and it just scooted away.
Tip drill. If he had a safety back there behind it, he might have come up there and caught that wrestler. Intercepted. Threw down an 8 for the Warriors. 3 wideouts far side, ball on the near hash mark. 1 wideout on the near side. Hike to Hanna. Hanna looking, back to pass. Now he's going to run. Got a little opening. He will have the first down and more across the 50, down to about the 48, 47-yard line. Saw it open. He just opened up that there. Low linebackers or nothing right there. That time, Gary and Harper, and he just slid in there and got about 13, 14 yards up to the bluff 47-yard line.
Hanno has 30 carries for 138 yards coming into this ballgame. He averages 4.6 per carry and drops back. You know, his completion percentage is under 50. It's 44%. So if he doesn't like what he sees, he's going to take off like he did. He got past the sticks, and he got himself into Cherokee Bluff territory for the first time here this evening.
First down, got a guy right beside him. That's Wood. One guy in motion, that's Hall. He's going to take off running. He's going to go right between off the tackle on the far side. Gets drug down from behind by Connor Cook. The quarterback, Hannah, gets about 6 yards on that carry.
Cook had him around the ankles and refused to let him go.
Got him down to the 41, so he picked up six. It'll be second down and four now for the Warriors. 9:06 left here in the first quarter. They've run 3 minutes off of it. And as we talked in the pregame, we thought they might run, and that's what's happened is they run it all but twice. One completion, one incompletion. Let's see what second down and about four here. Defense slides over, and that's going to be a timeout called by Oconee County with 8:47 left in the first quarter.
Let's take it with them. We're back in 1 minute here from Cherokee Bluff on 97.5 Glory FM.
This is Matt Nix, president of Duplicating Products. Our local business has served Northeast Georgia with trusted office equipment and local service support for over 50 years. We're proud to support high school football and proud to help businesses stay up and running with fast personal service. As the region's largest independent Canon, Ricoh, and HP dealer, we offer the industry's best equipment backed by real local people. When your copier or printer goes down, we're there fast. Visit duplicatingproducts.com. We're local and ready to serve you.
It's kickoff time, Gainesville, and Hardy Chevrolet has the winning lineup you've been waiting for. From rugged Silverados to family-ready SUVs, our inventory is stacked for every game. And customer service? It's always first string. Visit Hardy Chevrolet at 2115 Brownsbridge Road, Gainesville, Georgia. Hardy Chevrolet, where you're always part of the hometown team. Together, let's drive.
Back at Yona Field, and right before the snap, Cherokee Bluff calls a timeout right there. Michael, they must have saw something in that new alignment, and they call the timeout.
Well, so I can't tell you, Joe, at the first quarter over in Oakwood, it is Jefferson on top of West Hall 14-0. They returned a punt for a score just a few moments ago. East Hall Monroe area just kicked off a moment ago. Gainesville and Johns Creek just kicked off their game at City Park. And Northall from Sambor, they're starting the second quarter. Northall on top 7-0 in Jasper.
Dawson County 14-7, according to the score I have from Score Atlanta over in Dawsonville.
Well, the coaches here are seeing a little, the old proverbial cat and mouse going on here. One staff sees something they didn't like and they called a timeout, and they came out, and the other staff saw something they didn't like and they called a timeout.
Yeah, they'll come back to their respective spots. Ball's on the near hash mark. At the 41-yard line, Oconee County has it second down, 4 yards to go. Hannah in the backfield with Wood right beside him to his right. Three wideouts, one on the near side. Number 86, Hall, will flip-flop tight end from one side to the other. They go double tights on the far side. They'll take the snap. Hand off. Oh, the ball's loose. Wood got racked, and Cherokee Bluff's going to pick it up. Number 7, I believe, picked it up, and Eric Johansson recovers a fumble.
Boy, somebody punched that thing out.
Yeah, the man that came up and made contact with Wood punched it out because it was on the ground immediately, Gary, and it shot back about 15 yards. Cherokee Bluff have great field position at the Oconee County 41-yard line.
Well, back-to-back timeouts. Then you get a play that's busted up, and the Bluff has got it and in great field position.
Cherokee Bluff will have it. They'll bring out, they'll have Cooper Dean. He'll be in the shotgun. Sends number 8, Dylan Haley, to the far side. Ball's just inside the hash mark, about almost midfield right there. Perkle in the backfield. They're going to go around. No, he's back to pass, and he's going to get eat up. Big guys come in there, and they stacked him up and let him wrestle around in there and finally knock him down in the backfield. Number 10, or Drake Harrison, one of the backers, comes up and knocks him down that time. Lost about 17. Now they're going to say about 19 yards on that. And it'll be
nine yards.
9 yards. Excuse me. I said 19. My bad. It'll be second down and 19. Lost 9 on the play.
Real slow developing play, which you don't want to have when you have blitzing linebackers just coming through and not enough guys to pick them up. So the speed there of Oconee puts them in a much better position defensively there after first down.
Cooper Dean takes it. Looks. He's going to looking for. Oh, he got knocked down. Big number 86 or.
Yeah, 86.
Yeah, 86 knocks it down right there. That's going to be Mason Hall, tight end, defensive end. Big long arms, knocks it down.
Yeah.
He was going, trying for Millsap over here on the side.
6'4", 205, Mason Hall, so he's got a wingspan there. Darius Darden, Hudson Stevens, Connor Jackson, Watt Elsner have been leading the Warrior defense in tackles this year.
Four man, a fifth man coming up.
Warriors dropped 7 guys back. They're only going to rush 4 here.
Third down, 19. They're going to run it up the middle to Perkle. Perkle across the 50, the 40, 36, 38. Where they're going to go? 39, where they'll spot it at. Got back to, got about 9, 11 yards out of it. It'll be fourth down. So is this fourth down territory right here, guys?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're not going to punt from here. And you can't kick a field goal from 56. Is that pretty much?
Now, quick kick, maybe?
Try?
Yeah. Who knows?
Connor Jackson, one of the senior linebackers, met him first, and then the rest of the Warriors came to knock him down. But let's see what they're going to do. Maybe we'll try to punt him in a hole.
Yeah, Giuliano is back there to kick it. One man deep to try and receive it. Looks to be maybe a fair catch. Yeah, they're going to take it right there at the 11 or 12-yard line. Number 15 is going to be Fletcher Howell, it looked like, I think. Take it right there for them.
So that'll be what, like a 28-yard punt with no return, almost 20, 29.
Kicks them in the hole a little bit there, just outside the 10 at the 12-yard line. It'll be first and 10.
He got it really high, and they had pretty good coverage on it, Joe, but it came down pretty fast. I think Oconee County stepped up and did the smart thing by taking the fair catch. The Bluff was hoping it was going to get a bounce so they could get down there and down it inside the 5, but that didn't happen.
That fog must have pushed it down quicker right there. Yeah. Hannah back in it, quarterback. Looks, going to hand off to the first man through. That's different than Wood this time. That's Wolfel. Wolfel gets around the far side up to about the 20, maybe, or up to about the 16 or 17, excuse me. On the far side, they're going to mark it at the 16 and a half. Knows the football touching the 17. Give him about 5 yards. It'll be second down and 5 for the Warriors. See if Hannah or Fountain's in there now. Quarterback. Hannah's still in the backfield right there, but he's got Wolfel back there, number 21, on his right side, left side, excuse me. Three wideouts.
Wolfel, 55 touches so far, 366 yards. He's averaging 6.7 per carry.
Wolfel came up through there then. He got hit by a lot of purple jerseys that time and got knocked down for no gain. Leading in there was Hudson Davis, one of the linebackers for Cherokee Bluff. Well, they're going to give him about a yard, so it'll be third down and 4 now for the Warriors.
Wolfel kind of turned his backside to the rush, Joe, and tried to push his way forward.
Hannah with that armband on there, as they gave the signal, I noticed he raised it up and looked at it old school to see what the play was. He's splitting out two guys on the near side, balls on the far hash mark. Double tight ends over there and one wide out on the far side. Hannah takes it, low snap, had to get it off the turf. Now he's going to sprint out to this side, moving the guy, throws it on the run.
Boy.
Into no man's land right there. He got kind of lucky. Blake Thomas was back as the intended receiver, but he threw that one way short of Blake right there. And they'll have to go over on downs as they'll have to punt.
One of the hardest throws you're ever going to make, Joe, is when you're running to your left and you're throwing right back across the field. Mm-hmm. And he had a wide open receiver there in Thomas, who was behind the cornerbacks. Was wide open, but didn't have enough arm strength to get it out to him. Now he is also actually going to be the punter, Brody Hannah.
Hannah's kicking. Yeah, Hannah is kicking. That was a pop-up. That'll come down short, hit at the 46 and roll just across the 50 and come down. And a fake getting it to it, and it'll roll across the 45 to the 44. Back deep was number 8 for Cherokee Bluff, Dylan Haley. He faked like he was going to pick it up, but he had two white jerseys there, and he wasn't about to do that.
Nope.
It'll be Cherokee Bluff's ball with 5:31 now remaining here in the first quarter from Yona Field.
How many coaches would have yelled at him if he had actually touched that? And would the principal have put him in detention just right now? No, get away from the ball.
And the guys up here in the booth probably run down there and got onto him.
38-yard punt, by the way.
38-yard punt. Backfield is Cooper Dean. Cooper's going to take it. There's a snap. Going to hand off to Perkle. Perkle trying to find a hole. Goes on the far side and can't find one. Tried to go behind Carter and Alamany and didn't get anything. Well, they're going to give him credit for about 2 yards, aren't they, up to about the 46-yard line. Second down.
Yeah, so far it's just been punch and counterpunch. A Warriors came out with a pretty good drive going, but then they fumbled it away. And then now both of them have three and out.
Halftime score from Jasper. I'm looking at the stats that were sent to me. North Hall 17, Pickens nothing at the half. They can give it off to Perkle again. Perkle across the 50 down to about the 47-yard line, about a yard or two short. Mason Hall in on the stop from the first down for Cherokee Bluff.
Nice pickup there. 6 yards, maybe seven, depending on where they put it.
Third down, about a yard. It'll be a short two, a long one for the first down. Got to get to the 46. They're at the 47 and a quarter, it looks like. Cooper Dean gets the play, comes back out, lets his team know. Now he's got, looks like Tony Rushing in the backfield, zero, along with big 43, Brett Pierce there. I would think that they're going to give it to Tony and let him try to get the run out of it. Send a man in motion. Nobody, whoever was supposed to. Oh, and there goes Cooper Dean. And Cooper's going to get about 5 or 6 yards and get the first down to the 41.
I think that was a designed play. He rolled to his right and then turned around and spun around almost like a counter play. And there was a hole there for about 4 or 5 yards, and that's what he got. And don't forget now, he's a big guy, 6'3", 190-something pounds.
And then behind that left side of Carter and Aluminium was able to get 5 yards up to the Warrior 41-yard line, first and 10 with 3:45 left here in the first quarter. Cherokee Bluff rushing still in the backfield. Three wideouts, two on the near side. Ball's basically right in the middle of the field for the Bears. One man in motion for the Bears. Looking to pass. Gets it over to Millsap. Millsap to the 40. Down to the 35, hits a guy still running, but came down. We got a flag, did you say?
Yeah,
right there at the 40. I see it there now.
It was thrown in the backfield, too, so that may be an illegal block or a hold.
Ball, they're saying, spotted down at the 32-yard line. With the white hat and the umpire are talking to each other. And they're pointing back at the flag at the 40, and they'll mark it from there, whatever it is. I'm afraid it's going to be against the Bears. Let's see what the white hat tells us.
John Heath is the man in the white hat. Brad Lurie is the umpire tonight.
Holding is what we have on Cherokee Bluff, so it will come back from the 40.
Well, when they throw it behind the line like that, Joe, it's almost always a hold or an illegal block.
Comes back. It'll be back at the point into 50-yard line on the near hash marks where they'll spot it. The 10-yard penalty will be first down and 19 from the 50. They can get to the 31. Run at 3 minutes and 24 seconds left here in the first quarter. Dylan Haley on the near side. You got Pierce next to the quarterback. Pierce gets the ball. He shoots inside the 50, across the 50 down to about the 47-yard line before a couple of big white jerseys tackle him on the far side. Hudson Stevens, one of those defensive guys, comes up and makes the tackle. Hudson, middle linebacker for Oconee County.
Joe, quick scores for you. Halftime in Dahlonega is 14-14, White County and Lumpkin County.
Wow.
And it is Jefferson leading West Hall 14-0 in the first quarter. East Hall and Monroe area tied at 7 in the first quarter.
Dean gives off. No, he's going to look to pass. He gets it. Oh, and Pierce drops it. And Pierce was might be close to the first down. He was open for a second right there at the 45.
Yeah, that was a good 10, 12-yard gain right there if he'd have held on to the ball. But I don't know. Maybe he took his eyes off of it for a split second. Maybe hit him right in the hands.
Right in the hands. Third down now. About 17 yards to go, 16 yards to go for the first down. Under 3 minutes, 2:44 in the first quarter. Pierce comes out. Perkle, the lone setback behind his quarterback, Dean. Number one comes back on the field. That's Cole Brooks. He's in a slot position, goes to the receiver on the far side. Double receivers on both sides. They throw it right over the middle, complete. Yeah, he completed it, but he's just inside the marker, but it's still way short. Number 11 caught that one, Jackson Perkle, out of the backfield.
I think Connor Jackson, 47, just nailed him as soon as he touched the ball.
Yep.
And he got zero gains after the catch.
Yeah, he got about 6 yards on the, but as soon as he caught it, he was down. And now Giuliano will come in and kick it away for the second punt from Cherokee Bluff. Good punt this time. That one's going to bounce around the 8, go sideways. It'll be inside the 10. They'll down it at about the 8 or 9 yard line, and that's where Oconee County will take it with their third possession.
Yeah, Maddox Sidilovich was rushing down the field and got to it as it started bouncing back against the Bears. For a while there, it looked like it was going to kick forward. Then it started, had a little English on it or something, Joe.
Yeah, it looked like it was going to, it was end over ends. I said, well, that's good, unless it takes a bad hop. And it kind of went sideways, like you said, but it rolled back up. It was almost down inside the 5 for a moment, then came back out. First and 10 for the Warriors out at the 9-yard line. Brody Hanna still in at quarterback. Ball's basically in the middle of the field. You got 1-2 wide outs, a couple of tight ends, a slot, and one running back. Going to put Mason Hall in motion to the far side. He gets it. He's going to try and run. They swallow, keep him in the backfield, and they'll swallow him up at the 8-yard line. Good pursuit that time by the purple guys that time to get back there to him. Number one, I'm Dylan Haley on top of it. Tony Rushing, one of the defensive ends, back in there to make the stop.
Second, Hudson Davis grabbed him from behind, Joe, and kept him from getting any yardage at all. In fact, I think he lost half a yard, maybe three quarters of a yard.
Yeah, second low snap that they've had here early in the ball game, the first quarter. So the center obviously having some difficulty with a guy, a nose tackle that's right on him. He's not getting what he would normally experience in terms of his arm follow-through. So number 20, that's who's on him right now. That's Hudson Davis, fullback, and also he's making some difference.
Trying to get it out that time to Wood. Wood's going to get about 3 or 4 yards. They lost a yard on the first possession, first carry, and then get it back out to about the 11. So give him about 3 or 4. Be third down and 7 now for the Warriors from their own 12-yard line. We're at a minute and now running here in the first quarter. Fast first quarter, just like we figured would happen.
Now Rushing and Woodson on that stop. They also rode him down from behind. He had a lead blocker, Joe, but they stacked him up anyway.
In the huddle. They'll send one guy out to the far side. That's going to be number 5, Parker Antoine, on the far side. And you've got Stevens and Thomas on the near side. Wood beside his quarterback, Hanna. And now we've got a timeout called. And I believe it's going to be by...
Yeah. Oconee.
Yeah, Oconee County is calling the timeout.
And we'll take it with them with a score here from Cherokee Bluff. Nothing, first quarter. Back with more after this timeout on 97.5 Glory FM.
Siphon Logistics' commitment is to provide you, the customer, with on-time pickup and delivery every time. Members of the Siphon family have been in the transportation business since 1984. The Siphon Logistics transportation professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, providing maximum flexibility and options to produce the most successful shipping arrangements. Call Siphon Logistics at 770-287-8485 and take a look at their website at siphonlogistics.com.
Hey folks, this is Jeff Dale. Wanted to welcome you to Friday Night Football in North Georgia. The game is on tonight. I wanted you to know I'm in the game with an HVAC business called Optimum Mechanical. We specialize in residential and commercial HVAC. Service, replacement, new construction. Let us help you on your next project. Optimum Mechanical, 678-780-7251.
Oh, the ball came out. Cherokee Bluff falls on it at the 10-yard line. Number 5. Balls only. Connor Cook, one of the backers, looked like the quarterback was coming out of there, fellas, and it hit on his hip. He's popped out of there.
He was trying to move and get out of the pocket. There was some trouble right about where the goal line is, Gary, and the ball gets deflected by one of the Cherokee Bluff players, and it pops right out. Picked up there by Connor Cook there at about the 9-yard line. Actually, it's going to be at the 11, Gary.
He just lost it.
Yep.
He lost the handle on it. He was looking down at his at his hands like, I can't believe I'm about to fumble this ball, and he did.
But it is something after each time out, Oconee County's fumbled the football.
Well, and he's carrying it like a loaf of bread. Now, you can't ever do that. My goodness. Cooper Dean hands off to Parker. Parker scoots inside the nine, down to about the eight, and they stack him up. Blow the whistles, guys. Thank you. Got down to about the eight-yard line. The spot on this side is horrible, but they get him down to about the eight-and-a-half-yard line. It'll be second down at the eight-and-a-half is where they're saying. They can get a first down down to the one, and that'll be the end of your first quarter right there, tied at nothing.
And we're back with 1 minute back of Aura here on 97.5 Glory FM.
Ever feel like your house is just missing a little something? Custom window treatments can go a long way to making your house feel like a home. Call Millie's Drapery and Decorating today for the best in custom drapery, blinds, shades, and shutters. We can schedule for one of our designers to come out to your home, take measurements, and give you an estimate right there on site. That's Millie's Drapery and Decorating, 1732 Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, or give us a call at 770-532-3819.
Here I am on the road again, ready to pick up the kids from school, go by the grocery store, and do all the things a busy mother does. It's because I just left North Hall Tire and Wheel, where they made sure I was ready to go. They put on a fresh set of tires, checked the brakes, and even the battery. I know I can trust Mike and Matt and the guys at North Hall Tire and Wheel. They have everything you need, all the name brand tires at the best prices, and the service you need. They're on Cleveland Highway in Gainesville, so give them a call at 770-297-5308.
Back here at Yona Field, Cherokee Bluff will have the ball inside the 10-yard line of Oconee County to start the second quarter. Score is 0-0. We've had a turnover or two, and we've had a couple of punts. Cherokee Bluff
nose
with the
of the
football. Cherokee Bluff, you have Cooper Dean.
You're there, Gary.
Yeah, I got you, Gary.
You're there, Gary.
Okay. Cooper Dean will have it. No, they got a new man. Number six takes it. He goes inside the five, fighting down to, does it give it to him? Touchdown! Number six, Malcolm Millsap, took the direct snap. 9 yards for a TD.
Malcolm Millsap.
A little wild bear for the Cherokee Bluff.
Got it at the nine, direct snap. He went off that right side, Gary, and scampered in right in the corner of the end zone, front corner of the end zone, for the touchdown.
So the Bears score after the turnover from Oconee County.
Giuliano will attempt the extra point. 8 seconds into the second quarter. Kick is up, the left footer high and deep. It is good. 7-0 Cherokee Bluff. Here's your score.
And back with more in 1 minute on 97.5 Glory FM. EMC
Security. Hey, it's Coach Mark Richt here. Everyone knows defense wins championships. And if you're not using EMC Security to defend your home and family, you need to step up your game. With EMC Security's no contract and local service, they are a clear number one. So give them a call or visit them online at emcsecurity.com. That's emcsecurity.com.
EMC Security, smart protection for a safer tomorrow.
Back to school shouldn't mean back to the doctor. Make sure you go to Riverside Pharmacy for all of your health needs. They have everything from hand sanitizers to all of the vitamins you'll need. But if your child does get sick, then the expert pharmacists at Riverside Pharmacy can get your family back to school by filling all of your prescriptions. They'll even deliver them in the Gainesville area. Riverside Pharmacy, across the street from City Park, serving Gainesville for over 60 years.
Giuliano will kick for Cherokee Bluff. The left footer kicks it high and deep, comes down right at the goal line. He'll bring it out at the 5, 10, 15, 20. Far side, finally drug down around the 21-yard line on the far side over there. I think it was Wolfel that brought it out of there, and didn't see who brought him down, but two or three purple jerseys over there to pull him down at the 21-yard line. It'll be first and 10 for the Warriors right there.
Well, as Mike mentioned, two timeouts. You come out of it, you think, okay, we know what we're going to do, and each time they fumbled. So Oconee County looking to change their fortune here, starting just outside the 20-yard line on the fourth possession that they've had here early in the ballgame.
Hannah Woodwood on his right. four wideouts, three on the near side. Looking to throw his Hannah. He throws it to his tailback, Dean. Dean gets a block out to the 30. Got away from one guy, the 40, the 45, the 50, and knocked down there. Caden Wood, nice job. He caught it, a little screen out of the backfield, caught it around the 20, and picked up 30 more yards across midfield to the 49.
That was a beautiful screen pass right there, and he made at least two or three bluff tacklers miss before Cole Brooks finally dragged him down. But it was a great gain and a great play.
Thomas and Stevens did a really nice job holding their blocks. The receivers did that time for Oconee County. Now you're on the near hash mark, three wideouts to the far side, one to the near. Hannah gets it, looking to throw again. Another screen pass. That one is going to be incomplete off the fingers. Might have heard the footsteps of number 10, Maddox Sudovich. That time as Maddox was right there on him, about a step away when the ball tipped off of Dean's hands.
Well, the previous play that went for about 30 yards, you bring a blitzer. Oops, the blitzer didn't pick up the back, and he gets left alone and gets a first down up near midfield. This time, they were on the same play to the other side. You've got a running back and a linebacker that are about to meet at midfield. Much better defense there on that second attempt there by Cherokee Bluff.
Second down at 10 at the Bluff 49, 11 minutes and 14 seconds here.
Ball on the ground.
Ball's on the ground. Quarterback picks it up. He's going to bowl his way ahead down to about the 41-yard line. He made a little bit out of nothing that time and got about 8 yards. We'll give him that up to the 41. It'll be third down and two now. He dropped the ball, or it slid out of his hands right there, fellas, and he picked it up and had clear sailing for about 3 yards before they started swarming around him.
Well, if I'm the defensive coordinator, I'm keeping number 20, Hudson Davis, who's lined up as a nose tackle. He's directly on the right arm of the center, and he cannot release the ball like he wants to, not like what he practices. And it's hit the ground now three times here in the first half. That one was low.
Low again, but they're going to give it off to the running back. He's going to get across the 40 down to the 35.
Down.
That is Dean. Yeah, Dean
Kenwood.
Again.
Kenwood.
Kenwood?
Caden, yeah.
Yeah, Caden Wood, excuse me. Wood had it. Gets down to the 35 and a big first down. Wow.
Well, Hannah's just had a little bit of problem hanging on to the ball. But that time he was able to make a good play. And he, as you said, Joey, when he dropped it, he still picked it up, made something out of nothing. Now the Warriors have got a first down inside the Bear territory.
Ball almost in the middle of the field. Three wideouts, two on the near side. Quarterback will hand off this time to Wood again. Wood trying to go, and they got a flag coming in, be a holding. Probably from where it came from the umpire back to about the 36-yard line. Wood got out to the 31-yard line, so he got about 4 yards. But let's see what the flag is on the field.
Well, just a stretch play to the left-hand side there by the Warriors of Oconee County. And good pressure across the bow, if you will, there by Cherokee Bluff.
It'll be a holding.
Penalty.
Yep, holding call. It'll come back 10 yards from that spot. First down, but it pushes it back to the 45. So now it's first down and 20 for the Warriors. Bears need to step up. They have a 7-0 lead. We're down to 9:55 here in the first half. Had a lightning delay to start with. Got started a little after 8. And rain has stopped. Fog's moved in, but everything's good. Snap, almost low again. Quarterback's going to take it right in the heart of the defense. Defense gives him about a yard, and that's all he gets. Tony Rushing. Defensive end comes from the far side and makes the tackle mano a mano, and then a group of purple jerseys stack him up.
So far, the Warriors have just really, to use the cliche, been their own worst enemy. They get a drive going, they fumble it away, and that time they had a pretty good drive going, and they commit the holding penalty. Now it's second and long.
Second down, about 19 yards to go. One, two, three wideout, four wideouts. Got two on the near, two on the far. Marble in the middle of the field, just outside around the 44-yard line of Cherokee Bluff. Single, or no backs back there with the quarterback. Another low snap. Going to throw it right over the middle. Did he catch it? No, it popped out of his hands. Intended receiver kind of threw it low and behind him. Mason Hall, the tight end, came across. He would have been well short of the first down that time. But he kind of threw it behind him as he was sliding down on the turf.
Yeah, Mason trying to do everything he could to slow his body down, so he does hit the ground like he's going to slide into second base. but it wasn't enough.
Ball, if you're going full speed, it's hard to slow the body down.
Absolutely. And you know, his momentum says, no, hit me in the front shoulder, and not only am I going to catch it, I'm going to keep going and probably gain the first down and get it all back. But because the ball was low and it was not good footing there by your quarterback, it ends up being an incomplete.
Third down and 19. Back to pass. Got time to throw it. Throws a wobbler to the far side. Complete. He got the first down. He got by a guy. The 20, the 10, the 5, and he's in for the touchdown. Blake Thomas, the receiver on the far side. He caught it about 2 yards shy of the first down. Got away from that defender and went up the sideline and got the first down, or the touchdown on the far side.
44 yards. The prior play was a low snap and a low throw. That time was a low snap, but a pretty good throw.
Threw it almost right on the money that time. He caught it right where he needed to. He was able to turn around and get ahead of steam before he had that guy miss him, and he was able to go on in and get the score. Todick, Dennis Todick, is the kicker, or actually Boykin. Boykin kicks it up, another left-footed kicker. Boykin puts it through. It is now 7-7 with 8:42 remaining in the first half.
And we're back at more football, 97.5 Glory FM.
Summer heat is here in North Georgia, and Conditioned Air Systems is here for you. With 24/7 service for your air conditioning and plumbing repair needs, we will keep you cool, comfortable, and dry all summer long. Our family and team have been delivering reliable, quality service for HVAC and plumbing when you need it for over 45 years. Give Conditioned Air Systems a call at 1-800-AC-REPAIR.
Injuries are never planned and often happen after hours or over the weekend. That's why NGPG Orthopedic and Sports Medicine offers the Black and Blue Walk-In Clinic for injured athletes every Monday morning in their offices in Gainesville, Braselton, Buford, Houston, and Jefferson. No need to call. Just walk right in between 8:30 and 11:30 on Monday mornings. And one of their sports medicine and orthopedic doctors will be there to help identify, treat, and care for your injury. To learn more, you may visit ngpg.org/blackandblue.
Bo Boykin comes up and nails that one, hits it from the 40. The left footer kicks it about 2 or 3 yards deep into the end zone for a touchback. Cherokee Bluff will have it first and 10 at their own 20-yard line. No, 25?
Huskers be 20.
20. Well, yeah, I think. Well, that umpire right there is going to put it on the 25.
Okay.
No, now he's backing up to the 20.
Yes.
The line judge was back there.
This is not college.
Yeah. I was like, okay, give him 5 yards.
Moonlighting on the weekend.
Maybe. Cooper Dean. Bring him up at quarterback position. One man behind him is Purple. Three wideouts. Two on the near side. Ball's in the middle of the field at the 20. Moves Purple over to his left side. And puts one man in motion. That's Haley. He kind of gets a little touch pass from the quarterback and gets about a yard and a half out of the touch pass, rolling around to the left side. Does Dylan Haley?
He just kind of leapt forward for that one. He got run into a crowd, lost his footing. But as he lost his footing, I think maybe because somebody tripped him, he kept his momentum going forward.
Drake Harrison on the tackle for Oconee County.
You know, they started the first play of the game was one of these little wide receiver sweeps, if you will. They end up losing about 9 yards.
Second down. 8 yards to go. Throw out. Complete pass on the far side to Haley. Haley got away from a guy and tried to stretch for the first down, but I think he's going to be about a yard short on the far side. Tackle over there by 36, I believe that was. And that's 36.
He gets knocked out of bounds about the 29-yard line. The ball popped out, but it ended up going out of bounds as well. But it went out at about the 31-yard line. They will not get the advancement of the football. But they do get the yardage from the catch. So it'll be at the 29-yard line, just inside of it. So they'll need about 4 feet to get the first down.
Yep, tad over a yard. Third down. A long one for the Bears. 7:57 in the quarter. Tied at 7. One man in motion. Hand off to the running back. Trying
well,
to get
it
across there. I don't think he got it. He might have got to right at the 30. The line judge on the far side saying he's about half a yard short. Let's see.
I hope Harper said 4 feet. I think he got 3.
They're giving him a first down. Look at that.
Yeah, oh, look at that. They spot it dead even on the 30, though.
Yep.
Not
as Mike said, since COVID, we've seen what one time that they've measured since the COVID hit us in 20. So
yeah. Well, they don't have chips in this ball, but they acted like they did. Yep. So.
First down at the 30 now. New set of downs for the Bears. Dean hands off to Perkle. Perkle tries to get bounce off of one guy, and then he's tackled right there. Number 10, Hudson Stevens, comes in and makes the tackle. Grabs him around the waist there again. Gary, they're pretty good at that, grabbing around the waist, aren't they?
Yeah. Both these defenses are playing pretty well, Joey. When he bounced off, he thought he saw a crack in the defense, but as he made the turn to try to go forward, one of the defensive backs, the linebacker, that came up and shut down that hole.
But, Joe, you see how disciplined these two teams are.
Oh, heavens, yes. And we saw Perkle last year and the year before how well he keeps those legs moving, and he does it again. Dean, back to pass. He's got a little time, throws a bullet. Far side almost intercepted by number 6, Sincere Sainer, on the far side.
You know, and he had plenty of time.
Yes, he did.
He looked to his left and saw the routes covered over there. Rolled back to his right and looked right down the field. Almost telegraphed the pass.
Intended receiver over there, I believe, was number 6, Millsap. But he threw it short, and the cornerback, Sainer, was able to jump it a little bit, die a doe for it, and bounced off his hands, incomplete. The third down and 9 from the 31.
It's kind of big right here.
Tied at 7, under 7 minutes until halftime. Dean has it, looks, getting a little pressure through it. Had to get up in the air. He caught it. No, he hit his hands and popped away. Malcolm Millsap, the intended receiver, threw it high for him. If he hits him without jumping up in the air, guys, I think he might have it easy.
Yeah, a little behind him. He had to kind of pirouette while he was in the air and try to slow himself down, just as we mentioned a couple of plays ago with Oconee County. Ball a little bit far behind him. There's a penalty flag in the backfield against Cherokee Bluff.
That'll be declined. They'll take the down because Wyatt Elsner, give him some credit too.
Yeah.
At 6 feet, 158 pounds, long, tall drink of water right there, went up with that ball and interfered with the catch.
Last second, they run on the punt team. Giuliano back there, the long snapper, Maddox Sudilovic. See what Giuliano's had, two pretty good punts to see. What he do? Ooh, that one skipped up there to him. The left footer gets it up. Good, pretty good kick. Going to come down at the 39 as a fair catch. Number 16 takes it for Oconee County. That will be Blake Thomas, and they'll have it first and 10.
30-yard punt, but no return. But he was lucky to get that one off. It came rolling back to him. He had to feel that thing like a shortstop trying to turn a double play.
You know, since the rain stopped and that little sheen might be affecting them a little bit with the handling of the ball, as we've seen from both teams.
I know it.
6:34 remaining. Hannah in the backfield, one set back, a guy in a slot. And off to the running back, that's going to be Wolfel. Around the far side, 10, 15. Did he get knocked out of bounds? Not yet. He's still churning it. Going up inside the 30, the 25, they tried to knock it loose. He's down to the 24-yard line. Wow, he got away from some guys on the far side, cut back in across to the near side, and got up to the 24 for a huge gain.
Well, you're right, Joe. Somebody came over the top and brought a karate chop down trying to knock that ball loose, but he held on to it and got a big gain.
Let's pause right to me, Joe, for safe identification. This is WGTJ, Murrayville, Gainesville, W248DL, Murrayville, Gainesville.
First down and 10, ball's at the 24-yard line. They got 37 on that last carry. A flag's down, they hand off to Wolfel again. Wolfel stumbles and staggers down to about the 15-yard line, but we'll have Bavavia's going to come back with a flag back at the 28-yard line. Coach Hall didn't like it. He was pointing out there. I'm not sure if it was his player at the referee. And he was pointing. The referee will come over and give us this sign. It's going to be an illegal shift against Oconee County.
Didn't have enough guys on the line of scrimmage.
That'll bring it back from the line of scrimmage.
Not as far back as it brought them the last time they were trying to drive on them, but that still is a momentum killer if you're not careful.
Knocked it back to the 29, first down and 15. They can get down to the 14th, the first down. Ball's at the 29. Say hey to our buddy Bouncer Williams listening tonight. Says we're sounding pretty good. Glad you listened in. Sissy and John Lusk over in Canton listening in. My buddy Jason Edwards, almost in Claremont, listening in tonight. 5:47 remaining here in the first half. Tied at 7. Fountain back at the quarterback. One guy behind him is Wolfel. Three wideouts. Ball's on the ground. They get it to Wolfel. Wolfel's going to get hit in the backfield and knocked down to the 33.
Well, they only had a three-man line that time, but when you put the ball on the ground, that gives the linebackers and everybody else a chance to adjust and put the rush on. That's exactly what they did.
Big Hudson Davis comes in and makes the tackle right there, Gary. That nose guard has been active tonight.
Sure has. Another low snap caused by Hudson Davis and the pressure that he's putting on the center. Snap is low. The exchange is kind of weak there, and Wolfel gets hit in backfield for a three-yard loss.
Second down, they lost three more, so second down and about 18 now. 5 minutes exactly left here until halftime. Two wideouts far side, one on the near. One man moved early.
Another penalty.
Yep, that's going to be movement four because the guy that was kind of offset from the line moved a little early, and that'll be a legal procedure, and it'll back him up five more, so it'll be second down and 24 now.
Well, Wolfel was running that route, and I think out of the corner of his eye, he saw that flag. He just quit.
Stopped running?
They just stopped running. He just said, oh, that's coming back anyway. There's no need for me to keep running anymore. Yeah.
Well, here's part of your strategy, Joe, now is you've got 4 minutes and 53 seconds. You're in territory pretty deep, but you've already burned two of your timeouts, mm-hmm. so I'm not sure how you're going to play this. If you get it close, you go for it, or do you want to take time to reconsider? You've already burned two.
Second down, about 18 yards to go. Low snap again. Dean has it. Oh, they sack him in the backfield at the 45. Hannah goes down. Tony Rushing in on the sack at the 45.
At that time, they started out in the three-man front and made it a four or five. And by the time they were snapping the ball, I saw the middle linebacker starting to rush.
Wow.
So I had a six-man blitz on that time.
Rushing came in. He's on the edge. He comes in there and makes the tackle. His third down and a long ways. They could get a first down, but they have to get down to the 14 right there at the 45. So it's third and 31 for the Warriors. Four wideouts, three on the far side. One man back there next to Hannah. Thought he was in motion. That's Wolfel. Oh, yeah, they're going to say, I think he moved again because they got a flag on the far side.
Push him back a little
on
further.
Far side, yeah.
Well, there is uncharacteristic of a Ben Hall team, Joe.
Yeah, they're saying the illegal procedure again that the line moved on the far side. And the line judge telling the white hat what's going on.
Well, it was a 17-10 ball game, as we said earlier in the pregame. Last year, we thought a whole lot more points would be scored. I don't know if the weather's had something to do with it, but they just hadn't seemed to have a
I didn't expect a dog here. I'm telling you, but this is what you expect right here.
Five more yards to push them back to the 50-yard line. And now, third down and a mile to go for the Warriors.
Well, for whatever reason, not the team has seemed particularly sharp on the offense, have they?
Hannah's your quarterback. Clock will start under 4 minutes at 3:40 left here in the first half.
The neat thing about what
with Wolfel.
What Cherokee Bluff is doing now from a defensive front standpoint, they're going to put six guys at the line of scrimmage. They're probably going to drop two automatically. You may drop a third to protect the middle of the field. Obviously, a deep throw down the middle is all it's going to be able to take there for Oconee County.
Parker Antwine, the receiver on this side. They throw it across the middle. It's complete. The Hall, the tight end, he gets back to the 35-yard line, so he got a chunk of it back.
Yeah, almost 15 yards.
But that'll be a fourth down and about
21.
21, yeah.
It's third and 36.
But here's a Bluff can run out the first half. They get the ball to start in the second half.
Yep. See what they do right here. They are at the punt unit on there.
Well,
I don't think you dare try to fake it here, do you, fellas?
No, not Oconee County.
35, the line scrimmage is 35, but he's standing back almost at midfield. So
yeah, Hannah, your quarterback, is kicking it right here. One man back deep. He gets it away, one step, and pushes it way up in there. He'll get away from it. It'll hit, and will it? Yep, into the end zone because the man stepped on the end line, and a touchback is signaled, so the Bears will have it at the 20-yard line with 2:34 left here in the first half.
Goes in the books as a 25-yard punt, but his man was about 2-3 yards in the end zone. He jumped up and tried to bat it out, but once it had broken the plane, Joe, that's all that she wrote. It's going to come back out.
And good job by the official. He was standing right on the plane and saw it. The man, the gunner coming down that side, had actually stepped on the line and jumped up, and the ball broke the plane when he knocked it out, so good call. Cooper Dean will come out at the quarterback as usual, purple in the backfield.
2:34 and two timeouts.
Cam Moore, the center. Michael Roy, Alamany, your guards. Maddox and Carter. Jordan Maddox, Cohen Carter are your tackles. One man in motion, flip-flopping from one side to the other. That's going to be number seven, Johansson. Handed off to Perkle, trying to find a hole. Found a little bit of one-man block, hit him, tackling up high around the 23, 24-yard line. Jackson gets running, and he was stutter-step and got around the 22 up to about the 24s where they'll give him credit for.
Yeah, that little stutter step there, Joe, nice job of trying to set the linebacker to keep him inside and try to bounce it to the outside. Got a little bit of room, but the outside linebackers are so quick here for Oconee County. They were able to respond and get him down after about a four-yard pickup.
They'll come bring him up again. Big number 99, Robert Evans, is the nose guard. He's a big old boy.
Four-man
Dean
block.
Takes the snap, fakes the Perkle, looking to pass. Got a man open down the, streaking down the middle of the field. It's going to be incomplete. Good job by their defensive back. I think that was number six. Haley was the intended receiver, and Sainer was the defensive back that got in between them and wouldn't let Haley get back over.
Haley needed to adjust. The ball was thrown back behind him while he's trying to go full speed. Mm-hmm. And as he attempts to, you know, adjust himself and go where the ball is, there was a white jersey right on his back. And, you know, the official, or excuse me, the coaches were saying, hey, that's pass interference. Really not.
Haley wanted P.I., I'll tell you that right now.
Huddy Kemp, Landon's little brother in the game now, the receiver. Dean with Perkle behind him. Dean will throw a screen out to Perkle. Perkle across the 20. Oh, he got tripped up right there at the 23, 24-yard line. If not, I think he gets close to the first down. Good, good tackle to knock him down right there at the line of scrimmage, fellas.
Yeah, because it's a completed pass, but Oconee's going to get the ball back.
Sainer's the cornerback's one that came up and got him right on the shoestrings.
And big Jordan Maddox over there, the tackle.
Yeah. Timeout on the field. 135.
They'll keep right here. Joe, updating some scores for you. In the second quarter, it's Jefferson on top of West Hall, 35-0. Same score. Chesapeake on top of Johnson, 35-0. East Hall's trailing Monroe Area, 14-7 going into the second quarter of play in that ball game. And now they're back into the third quarter with both Lumpkin County and White County tied at 14. North Hall starting the second half, leading Pickens 17-0. We'll talk more about that at halftime. Plus, at halftime, Ralph Neely, the athletic director here at Cherokee Bluff, will join us and get a chance to talk with him about what's happening here at Cherokee Bluff at halftime.
Hopefully he'll join us, Mike. I know he's out and about.
He said to call him, but he's not available.
Yep. All right, they'll bring him back in. They got Giuliano back there to punt. 1:35 left. He's going to be kicking it from around the 12. He's standing at the 9. Make sure they get a good snap. It is. Giuliano got it. They try to come for it. Giuliano got it off. Ball's going to come down, back the receiver up to about the 37-yard line. Good punt that time.
Yeah.
All the way back. And number 16 is the man that had to catch it. That's Thompson, the wide receiver. Nice long punt for him. He hit it. They were, what, about the 24, and that one came down at the 38. So is that 26
punt.
And something?
38-yard punt.
All right. Good deal.
Nice thing about what I like regarding the punter here is he's giving his coverage guys time to get downfield by kicking it high up in the air. It may not go as far as he may be able to kick it on a summer sunny day, but he's strategically doing it, and all of them have ended up in fair catches.
Hannah has it. Turns it over. Man coming in. Almost knocked him down. Came in a different angle. He's going to roll out to this side. Got a flag in the backfield. Complete to the 40, though. They're going to come down the field. I think it's coming back. Number five is receiver Parker Antwine. He got it as he came across. And we got another flag down there.
That may be offsetting.
Might be offsetting, Gary.
I'm telling you, they went out of bounds.
About a 40-yard completion.
Yep, got it down. The fans don't like the call down there as it went out of bounds with it. I think we've got a holding back here at the line of scrimmage from where that flag went down to 31.
Millsap was the one that took him out of bounds. Let's see what the call is now.
See what the white hat comes back and tells us. He's going to come all the way back and probably pick his flag up first.
Well, they They've already moved, so they're not giving him the any kind of a gain back, at least not this far.
It'll be offsetting. They're not, is he going to tell us what it was?
Well, high school will always mark it off regardless. So if it is a
usually they
a
go
dual
one
penalty, one on each side,
is...
if they offset each other, they're still going to move the ball.
Yeah. See if the White Hat's going to tell us. They're going to mark it against Oconee County from the 37. It's going to be holding on Oconee County. And they'll mark it the 10 yards that direction. Personal foul on Cherokee Bluff. That was the hit out of bounds. They'll bring it back 15, I think.
Yes.
And if it's 15, that'll make it 5 yards.
First and five.
Ago. Yeah.
I don't know if it was a hit out of bounds so much as they were wrestling kind of over there once it got out of bounds.
Personal foul regardless.
Still a personal foul.
Yep, so 5 yard mark off.
Yep.
Against so, Cherokee, so the ball will be at about the 43-yard line with 1:16 left to go, and it's still first down.
Yeah, down goes over.
Hannah will take it. They're in the huddle. You've got Antwine splitting out to the far side. Hall coming out on this side. Blake Thomas coming out on this side, along with Stevens. One guy in the backfield, that's Wood, on the right-hand side of his quarterback. Quarterback takes the low snap, looks it. Throws it on the far side. It gets it out to Hall. Hall gets away from a guy at the 50, the 45. Finally spun down at the 43-yard line.
Boy, Hall did a good job of breaking that tackle. I thought he had him.
Hall's a big old boy. He's got a little size and got out of the first grasp that would have been close to the first down and was able to get about 5 or 6 more yards up to the 43. And it's 1 minute exactly, and they are going in a hurry. Antwine goes to the far side. Four wideouts, two on the near side, two on the far. Ball's on the near hash mark. Back to pass, there's a flag. Rolls out of the backside, that's going to be Hannah. Hannah looks for run. He does. Going to get out of bounds around the 30, but I think it's going to come back with that flag.
That's an offensive foul right there.
Yeah, the right tackle ended up moving just before the snap.
So referee,
they'll take that for
jealous,
sure.
I think. Should be a holding penalty, and if it is.
No, procedure, if I'm not mistaken.
Procedure, okay.
Somebody moved.
Illegal procedure on the offense. It'll back it up 5. It'll be first down and 15.
That'll be interesting because it was on the right hash, and now they moved it over to the left on the far side of the field after the play was marked out of bounds.
That's where the penalty came from, recognized.
So the continuation of the play moves it over to the other hash.
Four wideouts, three on the near side. Ball's on the far hash mark with 43.2 seconds. Hannah, ball got loose. It's on the ground. Guys coming on him. They throw a little flacker out there too. Knocked away, and it'll be incomplete. They tried to get it out there to Wood, number 21 for the defense comes
up.
Well,
it's kind of the Keystone Cops, isn't it, Joe?
Is this football or rollabout? I don't know. They keep rolling that ball back to him.
Yeah. Another low rolling snap back to Hannah that time. Hannah was able to pick it up finally. And as they're blitzing him, way on him, he gets it over here. Tries to hit the man coming out of the backfield, Wood. And Wood can't hang on. It's Brock Hall.
That's always dangerous, guys. That throwing off balance like that could have been. It had been a little bit more behind him. It had been a lateral.
Second 15, 37.4. Tied at 7 here in the first half. Takes it again. Looking, steps up. He's going to get tackled right there at the 48-yard line. Stacked up pretty heavy. Leading man in there was number 5, Connor Cook, the middle linebacker.
They never took him down, but they had him stopped.
They had him stacked up, and they heard a whistle. Backed him up 3 more yards. It'll be third down. Now and about 19 yards to go.
They may just let this roll.
Yeah, they are. 13, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They're going to try and get a playoff and catch them here. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Did they get it off? They said they did. And now he runs up the middle and he's going to throw a Hail Mary. Way up the middle. Will they have a man? Intercepted right there at the 10, to the 15, to the 20, the 25, the 30, the 35, the 40, the 45, Millsap to the 50, 45, 40, and he got on and gets knocked out of bounds. Malcolm Millsap brought it back to the Warriors, 41, a huge interception there to save a touchdown at the end of the half, 7-7 at the half.
Got Tommy Jones here. Coach, punch and counterpunch, a lot of defense. Sap.
Yeah, I don't think either offense has really gotten into a lot of rhythm. It's kind of what you expect when you play Oconee, when you play Coach Hall's teams. I mean, they're physical, they're well coached, they line up well, they don't miss a lot of tackles, run the ball well. We got to go in and make some adjustments and figure out what we can do to get going a little bit.
What did you see good about the first half? It's other than the defense.
I don't know. There was a lot of good stuff going on offensively. Our guys are playing hard. We need to stay on blocks better. Obviously, we need to break some tackles. Like I said, we need to find a way to get it going a little bit.
All right, Coach, thank you for your time. All right, there you go, guys.
There's Papa Bear. Tommy Jones, the head man here at Cherokee Bluff. Halftime score, the Bears 7, Oconee County 7. We're back with the United Community Halftime Report in 2 minutes on 97.5 Glory FM.
United Community has proudly served our community's banking needs for 75 years. We've put our customers first since the very beginning. Need a mortgage that fits your budget? Ready to turn your side hustle into a small business? No matter what your goals are, we're here to help you meet them. Because for 75 years, we've listened to our customers and tailored our financial services to fit their needs. And we're not stopping anytime soon. Go to ucbi.com to learn how we can serve you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 421841.
As an electric cooperative, Jackson EMC must always have an eye on the future, exploring the newest innovations taking place in every area of our business. Ideas that lead to a better use of resources and improved ways of conducting business. Automated switch technology, iPads in the field, and internal networking that enable us to pinpoint outages, access complex mapping, and provide faster response times. Jackson EMC, innovation for today, innovation for tomorrow.
This is Matt Nix, president of Duplicating Products. Our local business has served Northeast Georgia with trusted office equipment and local service support for over 50 years. We're proud to support high school football and proud to help businesses stay up and running with fast personal service. As the region's largest independent Canon, Rico, and HP dealer, we offer the industry's best equipment backed by real local people. When your copier or printer goes down, we're there fast. Visit duplicatingproducts.com. We're local and ready to serve you.
It's kickoff time, Gainesville, and Hardy Chevrolet has the winning lineup you've been waiting for. From rugged Silverados to family-ready SUVs, our inventory is stacked for every game. And customer service? It's always first string. Visit Hardy Chevrolet at 2115 Brownsbridge Road, Gainesville, Georgia. Hardy Chevrolet, where you're always part of the hometown team. Together, let's drive.